You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas to talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. Now, on with the audio chat.
Two two one two.
Hi. Merry Christmas.
How are you?
Happy New Year.
Well, we're not there yet.
How are you?
Well, am I coming through nice and clear?
Not too bad. You're a little over-modulating in your latest audio, but it wasn't too bad.
Let me just turn my mic down a little bit. 1 second.
You're a little hot. About
20, a little hot all the way. Here we go. How's that? Is that better?
You're fine. You're fine. I'll tell you if you blow out the levels.
Yeah, with, what was a lovely Sophia with her phone with the vibrate. That blew my ears out a little bit.
That was harsh, yeah. It's amazing what sounds transcend the voice. Certain frequencies
just
come through really, really loudly, where the voice is muffled. It's amazing. Sound is an interesting concept. But it's the way the codec, the technology that turns the voice into digits and then back to voice, the way it picks up certain frequencies. It's interesting. Just like a dog can hear frequencies and we can't hear it at all.
Are we in the live stream now or are we just in lobby? I can't remember.
We're in live stream.
Live stream. I can't hear you coming through in the other room. My wife might have turned the... Did you turn it down? I can't hear. And if I can't hear you coming through in the other room, it usually means something's gone wrong.
Oh, dear.
Hold on. Let's we'll do a 2212. 2212. Hang out on Radio 3.
Streamer bot is
anyway, here. I'm sure you're sure you're know what you're doing your end. I normally have Radio 3 going on my other PC.
Yeah.
Other room. Anyway, that's technical talk.
Let's see if Streamer bot is here in the room.
Streamer bot's there.
Yeah, as long as he's there, then it should be going out.
Okay. Let's should we start with what did you think of Chris Kendall actually on video doing that vegan chat with the two young vegans? I noticed you put a comment in there.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I'm not that interested in the whole debate or the whole controversy. It's not that big of a deal to me. I think I take a view similar to yours with regards to food. I'm not too worried about animal welfare. I think animals are definitely here to serve us, biblically or just practically. So I wasn't really blown away by the whole thing. I think if it makes us better, if it makes us healthier to not eat meat, then I'm all for it. Obviously, I like the title of Dr. Greger, he's a vegan doctor. He doesn't look too great to me, but I like his book title. And that is How Not to Die. I think it's very provocative, and that's really my goal.
I read Dr. Greger's book, but you were talking about Freely. You talked about Freely the other night. Did you see Freely before she went vegetarian or vegan, the banana girl? Wasn't that attractive? And she became amazingly attractive. Do you think we were being played there? Because they've really made something of the, 30 bananas a day they expect us to eat.
Two, two, one, two.
I'm still here. I didn't want to go too far into it. I just wanted to go back maybe just through 2017. Where do you think Fakeology, do you think Fakeology is... Fakeologist.com. has done a service and is going forward. I think it is. I think it's going massive. Audio chats I've listened to.
I thought it's been really active this year. It's been a great year. A lot of new voices, and many of them are very interesting. And a lot of them are very eager to participate in the whole research. I love how it's quite organic that we've had new people come in and they would like to, they have some new ideas. I think greatest innovation in the website portion is Fecalpedia, and that's fantastic.
Guyer and Missam were instrumental in that, weren't they?
Oh, yes. I think it's fantastic. It takes a ton of energy, as you and I both know, just to get up, you know, and just to get up and go. And for somebody just to come in and want to do all this work, it's so much work with zero pay, but just passion. So I'm very grateful to have these people around and do what they do. I won't be able to contribute all that much because just keeping the website up is enough.
Exactly.
It's great. Just keeping the audio going and keeping it running, for God's sakes. You know, the thing goes up and down. You know all the technicals go. Stepping up to the mic that doesn't work some days is hard to understand.
You've got. Let's go through it. You've got researchers. You've got all sorts of people here, and you've got crossovers too. I love the crossovers. That Chris Kendall comes here and gives us 6 hours of his time, and John Adams loves it over here. John Adams, someone who we highly respect, and all the comedians too. I mean, these people like Del Quire, who love doing funny voices, you know, he wants to do a Judy Wood, or he wants, and then James, who does the most awesome Jim Fetzer, and of course, John Adams himself, who does the most awesome Alex Jones.
Great impersonator.
You know, you've got to have a little laugh. You've got to have a little laugh, even though we are being very serious about.
What a great group.
I can't believe it.
Great group of so many different people, and there's conflict, and the real soap opera of characters. You never know how one guy's going to interact with the other. You know, there's a million combinations of people that come through here.
I'm going to say every soap opera has got to have a villain. I'm sorry, I think John LeBond's the villain this year.
Yeah, he's controversial. Very smart guy.
He's the villain.
Very great speaker, great orator. Man, he I don't know if he's deliberately trying to rub people the wrong way or this is an act. It's hard to tell. I know some people like to just poke at people. I'm one of those people. In personal circles, I'm a poker, and I get a lot of flack for it myself. So I try and ease off. Sometimes I don't even know if I believe what I'm saying. I just do it to provoke. And when you get a rise out of somebody, you just keep doing it.
A rise out of you a little bit when I replayed you swearing on air. I don't even know if... Did you take that out of the MP3 that time this year? When I was just having a laugh?
So long ago.
You didn't. You wouldn't have.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
This year has seen a lot of hoaxes, the Grenville, the Anna Grand, you name it. What are the big ones up in Canada in 2017 that we've exposed as complete hoaxes? And the auto hoax thing where they've changed from conspiracy theorists calling us auto hoaxes now, that's interesting too. I don't know who came up with that.
That didn't really catch on. I don't know who came up with that idea. That didn't stick to anybody. I don't know whose idea that was, but I don't hear that when I travel around the internet. The big one was EGI this year for me. Everyone, there's people that think that's just a load of bollocks, and it's just there to deflect. It's at the very least, I think anyone can admit to the idea that men like to dress up as women.
Oh, yeah. Here in Australia, a show called The Footy Show, and for 15, 20 years, they used to always dress up in women's clothing. Yeah. These big, burly blokes. Yeah.
Every comedian does. Come on. Yeah. And I even watched an old All in the Family with Archie Bunker, where he rescued a damsel in distress that turned out to be a man. And he was fooled. And the whole story was that he did mouth-to-mouth on a guy. And it was very humiliating for the man. But these ideas are old, old, old ideas. Nothing is new.
Oh, that reminds me of a movie in 1992, not to get too far into this EGI thing, when Christopher Reeve, who's dead, and Michael Caine had to kiss one another in a film. And they were only going to do one take. And you could tell the looks on their faces when they were going to do this passionate kiss. I can't remember the name of the film. It was some sort of mystery thriller in 82, or comedy thriller. But, yeah, no, EGI. Is that the big thing? And what about Flat Earth this year? What are your thoughts on Flat Earth? Are you still into that?
I think it calmed down this year for me. It's not that interesting, only because it doesn't seem... How can we move forward with any kind of proof? This is the hard part. Because this is the part that NASA gatekeeps. They're the custodians of the shape, the size, the relationship of the Earth. Without them, without the research they could provide, I don't think we can get too far. And that, of course, is the magic trick. They know we can't figure it out. And it just leaves us in a state of limbo. At least it does for me.
They've lost all credibility. They've lost all credibility. They have.
I don't think anything has changed for me in the last year. Maybe for you, but nothing. I can't listen to it for too much longer. Or I didn't listen to it all that much this year. So there's not a lot to say for me. I think NASA's lost all credibility permanently, but they don't comment on the shape of the Earth. I haven't heard too much from the Jesuit trained mouthpieces, Neil deGrasse Tyson. None of these people have been saying anything interesting this year for me. So it's been a sideways moving year for that. And my sub-blog, flatearth.fakeologist.com, reflects that. There really isn't too much there that's been posted of any interest to me. But
No, I just, again, with all the new fakeologists, and some of them come and go, like the Golden Skidmark and Dell, that I would recommend anyone go back and listen to that. It's
another Aussie. You Aussies are so prolific. You overrepresent. Yeah. And maybe that's because of what you said, the nanny state.
We are. I just wanted to drop in and really and just thank you. And just again for setting up this ability for letting everybody all over the world. I'm gonna hang in. I'll be here for the next 5 hours or so.
Oh wow.
So if you're gonna hang for the next 5 hours, are you on your phone or are you in your studio tonight?
No, I'm not in the studio. No clips today, but yeah, we can.
Well, how about play a tune? Can I play a tune? And
I guess you can. I was just I made a mention that I didn't want too much music because the music really doesn't come through well. I've reduced the quality of the bit sampling to make the file smaller because my audio archive is getting quite huge. And there's really no need for high bit rates with voice, but music does suffer. And
can I go on mute?
Go ahead. If people play endless music, it's not interesting because nobody's here for music. I'd like to limit that as much as possible. A song here and there with a comment is okay, but not back-to-back-to-back-to-back music. It's just distasteful for the general audience, so we'd like to cut that out.
You still there, brother? 212? 2212? Here we go. We're coming through on Radio 3 now. That wasn't coming through before for some reason. Anyway, I'll be here the next 5 hours and won't play any music because Ab doesn't want any. But if anyone wants to come in, for sure. Let's chat about the big psyops of 2017 or what's... Oh, here we go.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Out. 2-1-2? 2-2-1-2.
Ah, you did that from your phone, Ab.
Did what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. No, that's an automatic, it's automatic. Did you like that?
Oh, that's right. It was on the hour. It's on the hour. You changed it. You changed it from Velocets to ABBA.
They alternate.
Oh, brilliant. I actually, you caught me on the hop there. Yeah, that went on the hour. Good on you. Yeah, Velocet. I like Velocets. With the scream.
It's good.
Very bassy. Very bassy. Boom. Blows your speakers out a little bit, but that's all right. That was good.
Yes, he's a radio guy. He just did another little drop, episode 408, but it's not showing up. I can't find the damn thing in my feed. So this is what I mean by computers.
the Howard Stern one.
Did you see that?
The Howard Stern. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I listened to it. Yeah, it was good.
Didn't show up on my phone. I can't figure out why it's not there. I did listen to it, of course, a little bit, but then I can't find the damn thing. So it just shows you these computers are so aggravating. There's something about that file that my feed doesn't like. I don't know what it is, though. I had to
nothing
take the
to
show
be feared. Tell people
take the
at
show
home
out of each episode because they were destroying the feed as well. So I had to make them separate.
I'm glad Missums downloaded your whole back catalog.
And she's uploaded it to archive.org. She uploaded the damn thing somewhere, to archive.org or somewhere. By the way, all these backup sites like archive.org and the internet, they're all begging for money now. They all want money. I never understood how anyone could back up the internet. That's a ludicrous. That's just a ludicrous concept. How can you back up infinity?
The funniest joke when I was back in computers and I was doing resale and whatnot back in the Twin Towers. I was in selling the damn things, and just when the towers got hit, or you know, pretend hit by pretend planes, the joke going around was like, you know, you have one of those 3.5-inch discs. And an old lady comes into the store. Can you back up the internet onto this disk? It was pathetic.
Can you put the internet on my computer for me? I want to look at it.
Indeed.
Well, and I've said this many times, that many young people, they think the internet consists of Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. They don't understand even the genesis of the internet and what it was supposed to be. And they have no idea. You can go to other websites that aren't on Facebook. That's amazing to them.
It's a bit sad, isn't it? It's a bit frightening, actually. I read all the comments underneath the... I think... what do you call it? YouTube is getting a lot better. I mean, a lot of the comments on YouTube now aren't just... especially under the Chris Kendall... is that for an example, having that debate with those young vegans, the comments were all pretty good. There were a few in there that were conspiracy theorists or whatever, and but there were people that had something more than, you know, what do you call it, ad hominems or
trolling. They weren't trolling. I think there's
trolling
there's
stuff.
Probably a lot of people deleting comments, a lot of moderators now.
Could be.
If it's true they hire 10,000 moderators, human beings, then you're going to see a lot of editing just to make it advertiser friendly, because obviously the big brands don't want to be associated with trash talk. I get it.
I try and have Stefan Molyneux up there where you are, right, Ab? I'm in Canada somewhere. And nothing I say to Stefan Molyneux will ever, ever go into the comments section below. He will not
allow
it.
Obviously, he moderates his comments. So there you go.
So, not that I dislike the man, but he always says the truth about this, the truth about that. And when it comes to obvious hoaxes, he goes with the mainstream. Oh, I'm sorry, Stefan. You just go with the mainstream. And he will never play the fringes. And he's this big ego man where he's just sitting there in the front of the camera. He's got to have the camera in his face. And he's a very clever guy. I mean, don't get me wrong, but...
you watch him, so that means you must be attracted to what he has to say in some way.
Well,
see, I don't
true.
Watch him, so I'm not, I can't even make a comment because I do not watch him. I have watched him, and he doesn't make me feel good. So I'm just not going to give him my energy. Now, the older you get, the more you realize that you only have so much time left, and you can't give energy where it doesn't give a positive feedback.
Right.
So I good won't
point.
Give him
when,
any energy.
When Lynn had a go at Simon Shack on Chris's Hoaxbusters call, you said negative. It was very, if you got through the negativity. Yeah, Lynn, I think Kahan was baiting her a little bit.
Yeah. Are you convinced that's a female, by the way?
Well, you said one, you had already worked it out. Like, she said what her height and weight was. Yeah. I don't know, but Kahan was baiting her a little bit. It made for entertaining radio, but it was quite negative, as you said.
It was good. That's okay. Oh. Everyone's out there. Everyone's subject to criticism. No one's above criticism, so I don't have a problem with any critiques, but it was lively. She got passionate, or he got passionate. God, I just can't get over the voice, though.
Well, I listened to it, and I just went, oh, I didn't get a good feeling after. But like sometimes when Kay Ham says after Bond, I don't know if she was sucking up to John Adams too much, but John Le Bon, he never makes it easy for anyone.
Kay is a very interesting person, but Kay can be very passive aggressive as well. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, when I listen to her cooking a turkey and having a chit chat for hours the other night, I love it a bit. I mean, I've spoken to Kay for years. When ISIS came in, Ab, me and Kay were the first ones. When that bloody thing was, like, put on the supermarket shelf, that's when, me and Kay were there, when ISIS, and they called it ISIL, they didn't know what to call it in the Islamic State. Yeah, Daesh, you know what I mean? And we were chatting about that straight away, saying this is a load of bull crap that they're feeding. And the media just took it on. Bang! ISIS everywhere. Because the military needs a boogeyman, and they just make them up, just like in 99 when they made up Al-Qaeda, and then bang, they disappeared the towers. I mean, we're going back now, but I thought we'd concentrate on 2017. But hey, this is fakeologist.com. You're here with Rollo and Ab, and we're here to talk 9/11, right? We can stray a little bit. Yeah.
I'm just listening. I'm going to probably post it in fakeologist.com. Are you interested in magic at all, Rollo?
Magic tricks? Of course.
Yes, because really 9/11 was a great deception. It was very good. And I'm listening to a podcast that's professionally produced by PBS. It's called This American Life. Have you ever heard of that?
Tell me more.
I'm going to post it so you're going to be able to listen to it. But the producer is doing a broadcast on magic tricks. And magic and perception is integral in hoaxes and psyops. It is the essence. Therefore, I think all magicians probably have a great insight into hoaxes that we like to talk about. And he's discussing how sometimes knowing how the trick is done is more interesting than the trick itself. Or, conversely, knowing how the trick is done ruins everything. It ruins the whole perception. And it's just a fascinating look, because he said sometimes a magician, you can explain how the trick is done, and that doesn't ruin the trick at all. Because even though you know what's happening, your brain cannot parse why it's happening. Even if you know, he did a discussion about a floating ball that's being controlled by a thread. And it's between Penn and Teller. We know Penn and Teller lie about 9/11. That's fine. But they're very, very good magicians. They're at the top of their game. They're in Las Vegas all the time, or currently, permanently. Anyway, he was describing how Teller loved the trick, and he got the trick from some guy, amateur in Nebraska, that wrote the whole trick out. And he loved the trick, and he was using it for his own act. And he brought it to Penn, and Penn hated it. He just didn't like the trick. He knew what he was doing. And anyway, the only way that Penn would let him bring it into the act was, he said, you have to tell people and show people that you're controlling the ball with a thread. Because even though people know that you're doing that, it is still a great illusion. And you can't believe that a thread is doing all these things with the ball, even though you know. You're told the thread is there.
I know where you're going with that.
The point of all this is we don't know why our mind plays tricks with us. We know what's going on, but our mind cannot rationalize, even though we know what's happening behind the scenes, why it's happening the way it is. So it almost seems like we have missing pieces of our brain, and psyops and magicians exploit those missing pieces. It's almost like we have missing wiring where one part of the brain just cannot explain to the other part what's going on. We just don't have the physical brain capabilities to figure things out.
All right. Okay. So, I have the highest respect for you. And the thing is, 9/11. I have the highest respect for you, and I have the highest respect for you because you stay on point, and the point is of fakeologist.com. The main point, I might add, because we can stray on audio chats. Audio chats go all over the place, and I love it when they do, but it pretty much
sometimes
stays...
Sometimes they go way off the plantation.
Way off, yeah, when they go way off, it might... But you still post them anyway. And I have a good laugh, but if they go too off, maybe you don't post them, I don't know. But the thing is, I still get cranky when I'm in an airport, because I went to New Zealand about a month ago, and I got hassled in an airport, for what? What, am I a terrorist? All this airport security, and as Tal Kwa says, who's checking the checkers in these airports? Who's checking the people who are checking? It's a farce, and it's all. And before 9/11, I went to jolly old England, where I'm from. I'm not Australian. I'm from England. I was born in England. I've lived here most of my life. Not a problem. I got a passport, got on the plane, not a problem. Ever since then, John Howard was over in in America, in a hotel when whatever the hell happened to the Pentagon. I think Frank said he was in New York that day. No, he was actually in Washington. And Glenn Milne was pointing the camera. We didn't get to see the footage of what the hell happened to the Pentagon. But no, I remember seeing John Howard, and they had the camera out the window with the smoke coming up from the Pentagon. So and then he brought John Howard, our Prime Minister at the time, these things called control orders, where you can be taken without, like, this terrorism thing. Like, a bit like in America, they had a thing called the Patriot Act. In Australia, these things called control orders, where you could be held without charge because of this, like, you are a terrorist. And that's, and he's no good for me. And I know all you say all politicians are actors, and, but no, that guy has to go down as one of the worst. And he knows that 9/11 was a farce, absolute farce, absolute joke. And I feel for people like Kaham, who's a Muslim, and all the Muslims that have had to cop shit. If you want to call them normies or people that are not awake, sleepable or whatever, think that that the Muslims are somehow bad guys because of 9/11. You know, it's I'll never get over that. And what do I do about it? All I can do is prattle on to you because Ab, you'll listen because fakeologist.com. Centers the whole site around 9/11 and the farce that it was. And we only have, I think, again, Simon Chak and September Clues Forum to thank for that, too.
Yes. And now we're making it, putting the victim report in Fakeopedia, so if people want to get the fakeologist point of view. And don't forget, we don't have a fakeologist meeting every day where we decide on the editorial or our common theme. We don't really have that. We just have a group of people that are pretty similar, but we're not steadfast in our views. People conflict all the time. There is no fakeologist point of view per se. We just, in general, agree on many, many, many things. We don't control people that are here. We don't meet in the same office or anything like that. People often get that confused, understandably.
I'm here in Australia, Ab. You're up there in Canada, and Tom Dauper is there in Jolly Old, and Napoleon Wilson's there in Jolly Old, a little bit further up there in Manchester, and Fast Valley is over there in the States.
Florida.
Lovely guy, and you spoke to who? Overly Salted from West Virginia, lovely guy this year. I don't want to mention too many because I'll miss someone's name and they might get upset. Folius Hadius, I'm looking at here, over there in Scandinavia, and yeah, brilliant stuff.
Let's thank all the donors, of course, as well that come through, contribute. Nobody lately, by the way, but
But I saw a new one. I thought I saw a new one. Hold on. I thought I saw a new one. Let me just check.
The donors are listed on the right side of fakeologist.com. Thank you. Many of those people on the list are multiple donors, too. I should point that out. I don't really make a note when they multiple donate. Maybe I should somehow just keep a list of repeat people that donate. But thank you so much. I usually use a lot of the money just to support others that I post about and agree with and make donations to. I usually just pay it forward, as they like to call it, in the goodwill community.
We'll get in. 2212, you still there, Ed?
I am.
Nuts and Vaults is a
Nuts
new
and
one.
Vaults contributor.
Yeah.
And he's on the Discord. Yeah, that was the big innovation of 2017, is the Discord, wasn't it, really? That was this year.
At that? Did you write that yourself, or did you...
Yes, I am Mr. Discord.
Or you're part of the team?
I started the company.
On you, man.
No.
Are you joking?
Of course I'm joking. It's a multi-million dollar company. I wonder who's behind it. You have to wonder, really. Any of the big boys behind it? There must be. Because we know about controlled opposition. Controlled opposition comes from business. Doesn't it?
I never know when you're joking or when you're not.
Oh, yes,
fuck
yes,
me.
Yes.
You make me laugh sometimes. You're so straight-laced. I'm going, come on, really? Because you're just a truck driver. You're just an ordinary truck driver, right? Oh, man, that's funny. That will make me laugh. But, yeah, everybody you were saying, that's gone and helped you out, multiple. James S., I assume that's the fellow that's just below the border there that does the Jim Fessler. And the Sandy Hawk! The Sandy Hawk! Like, I can't do Jim Fessler, but he does it magically. Oh, dear, dear. They were good stuff. I love it when those guys do impressions. But that takes the edge off of the serious subject we're talking about here. You know what I mean?
Do you have that Al Gore's number? I want to tell him to turn the global warming machine back on. We are in a massive, cold snap here in North America. It is just off the charts. They actually canceled a lot of the live band New Year's acts all around Canada because it's going to be below minus 20, and I don't think any musical instruments work at that temperature. You know, the sound waves don't vibrate the same way when it's freezing cold.
What's minus 20 in centigrade, mate? Help me out.
That is mine. That I am in centigrade. I'm in Canada. You know,
Celsius. In Celsius, sorry.
I just said that. I said that is minus 20. Yeah, C. Si, senor.
How do you even... Are you in Russia?
Well, actually, Ottawa, our nation's capital, was 2 days ago. What day was it? Maybe Wednesday morning? It was the coldest place on Earth. It was colder than the North Pole. You don't know what the South Pole, if it even exists, temperature is, but it was the coldest place on Earth, Ottawa. Minus 30 something. Minus 30, minus 35. It's crazy. So where are the global warming?
Do you have homeless people there in? Do you have homeless people there in Canada or not? You couldn't have because they'd freeze to death surely in that.
They're very innovative. I actually bumped into a homeless guy who was just hanging out at a friend's business in the back, and I gave him a turkey sandwich and coffee card. That was my great charitable donation this Christmas. I gave him a sandwich with homemade, of course, with love and cranberries, and I gave him a coffee card, and yeah, he said, I don't know where you sleep at night. I know he's not allowed to be in the business at night, but I guess he's under a bridge or something. I don't know how you survive. I guess you could layer up pretty good, but all in all, it's a very very bad way to live.
Yeah.
Very hard
too
on
depressing.
You.
Yeah. I don't want to get too depressing on. Yeah.
Yeah. But Al Gore, I don't know. You don't hear from these guys when it's this cold. And I think most of a lot of North America is under quite a Arctic grip right now. If you check your what they call map.
Al Gore, right? The Inconvenient Truth. When that came out,
I gotta watch the second one. I gotta download that.
Second one, I haven't watched it. Oh my god, that fat bastard who's flying around his own private jet, and there we were when we thought that he should have won the election against George Bush in 2000. Would it have made a difference? Would we have still got 9/11? Of course we would have. But
that's true.
They wanted to put the clown in there for 9/11 to make. That you had a little bit of comic relief when the towers, the fake towers got hit and the fake towers came down. Yeah.
But let me go back to show.
The Magic, yes.
Yeah, it's an older show maybe this year on This American Life. Very good. Very well done. It's fun to listen to a professionally produced podcast because if when they list the number of producers on the audio, you realize how much work it and how many people it takes to make a really, really good quality production audio or video. And they're talking about, you're old enough to know or remember maybe a bit of the David Copperfield magician that made the Statue of Liberty disappear. Do you remember that in 1983?
So I agree. I'm not being rude. I'm just not allowed to smoke inside. So I'm still listening to you when you're telling a story like that. Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah, do you remember the David Copperfield making the Statue of Liberty disappear?
No, I don't know that Statue of Liberty. He made a Boeing 747 disappear or something. But you tell me, keep going.
Yeah, I don't remember. I know they also referenced the 747 disappearing. I don't remember that one, but they did make reference in the discussion about the Statue of Liberty disappearing. Anyway, they called David Copperfield and asked him if he wanted to explain the trick. And David Copperfield did not want to explain the trick. He said that's not for him to do. And then the producer explained, well, with the internet now, we can just Google it and pretty much find out how you've done it there. And David Copperfield made an interesting comment. He said, well, that's fine. You can search it all you want, but I pay somebody to put misinformation out there as to how I did the trick. So you're never going to know for sure if you're reading the actual way I did the trick. That was pretty revealing. They like to call misinformation fake news because Donald Trump has turned fake news into anything he doesn't agree with. So he's really wrecked the word fake in a lot of ways. But the proper terminology is mis and disinformation, or even the more insidious word agitprop, which is agitating propaganda, things that really make you uncomfortable and are nasty and are also not true. Anyway, that's the Soviet term, I believe, agitprop. But David Copperfield did not want to explain the trick, even though 34 years later, it doesn't really matter. It's never going to probably be done again. I think it might be even harder to do tricks now with all the explanations that are literally search away. All our information is just a quick search away. Anyway, the guy who did the audio he guessed how he did it. And he tried to track down people that were there, which I thought was really interesting from a 9/11 or a PSYOP hoax perspective, where they try and find an eyewitness, and we always think of the eyewitnesses as lie witnesses with an L, Lima, lie witnesses.
I saw
them because
beam into the building and exploding and coming out the other side, and of course the building must have collapsed because due to structural failure. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. Those are eyewitnesses. They're not reliable either. You can't go to them either. But he said he tracked down the park ranger administrator of Liberty Park, which is where the Statue of Liberty was, and he asked the guy what happened, if he was there and if he saw it. He just wanted to confirm his explanation. And the guy was interesting in the sense that he said David Copperfield went over his head to get permission because he initially said, no, you can't do the trick on the island. It would sully the great reputation. We don't want anyone messing with the Statue of Liberty or whatever she is, the goddess of Isis or however you want to describe her. Columbia, I don't know. And
it's not TV fakery, though.
No, it wasn't TV fakery. It wasn't. And that would be so easy to do. But they said it was an unedited shoot, which is impossible to prove as well. But, okay, if we take all that to be true, then how did they do it? Where they had a live audience, and there were two twin scaffoldings on either side of the statue, twin towers, and they draped a large black sheet between the scaffolding to hide her, and they also did it at night. And behind the live audience was the camera to take the picture. The live audience saw
the Seattle Tower. It sounds like maybe they did the same thing with the Seattle Tower. Remember that?
I don't know that one, but are you talking about the CN Tower?
On your site. Where they
the CN Tower.
Did I get the wrong tower? Whatever it was. Yeah, and they had it, and they made it disappear. Could they have done it that way somehow?
Well, it's similar. It's similar because obviously obviously he did a little hocus pocus, and they dropped the cover, and the statue was gone. And then he asked if you wanted it back, and then they re-erected the big screen, and then he made some magic noises, and then of course the statue is back. And the live witnesses, or the audience members, they all said they couldn't believe it, they didn't know how it was done, blah, blah, blah. And the podcaster, who was an amateur magician as a child, was trying to figure it out, and he confirmed his suspicion with the parks manager, or whatever he's called, the park administrator. And the other funny thing is David Copperfield came to the park administrator and said, "Sorry, I went over your head," to get permission, because he denied him, and he said he was sorry, but he had to do it. And he asked the park administrator if he would sign a waiver not disclosing how it's done, because obviously the guy's going to be standing right there to watch. And he has to set up so he would see what was going on in the setup. Because in a major magic trick, it's always the setup that takes all the time, and that's the part the audience doesn't get to see. Setup. Remember the three elements of a magic trick.
Still bring the twin towers back. Come on, bring those back.
Well, that's not happening. But anyway, the way it was done, since you're not guessing, and I'll tell you this part, and you'll figure it out. The audience was sitting on a Lazy Susan. Now, if you know anything about kitchens, you know what a Lazy Susan is. Is that an Americanism, or
what's a Lazy Susan?
A Lazy Susan is, you never heard of one? It's a platform.
Wife, I'll just ask my wife. What's a Lazy Susan?
In a kitchen.
It's a rotating thing. Yeah.
Yes, it's a rotating platform. You usually put it in corner cabinets in a kitchen. That way you can make full use of the corner.
Uh-huh.
The audience was sitting on a Lazy Susan, a large platform that rotated. It rotates just slowly enough that you don't feel it, and just fast enough so you're not there all day waiting to move. And what he did was he rotated the audience about 30 degrees, so when they were looking forward, which is what they did, they were looking out over the water, wherever, I don't know the exact layout of Liberty Park and where they were sitting, but basically they were looking out over the water, and the statue was hidden behind one of the scaffolding that was holding up the curtain. It was as simple as a rotation. That was it. Obviously, he didn't destroy it or pick it up or anything like that. That was it. And then when he brought it back, they just rotated slowly over, I don't know what time frame, and back in the position. And then, of course, they walked away in the original position, so they were none the wiser. That was the whole trick.
Thing now?
And it just shows you that the explanation is really not very interesting, is it?
That's pretty clever in a certain sort of way. I'm not into magic. I'm into magic with a K, Ab. And the magic trick of 9/11, I'd love to know. I think we know how it was done.
Was the media. The media was, and that's the funny thing, with the media, you can really make anything happen. You really can. That's the trick there. It's the media. For instance, they interviewed a few people with this magic trick. Yeah. And they all said, "Oh, I don't know how he did it. It was fantastic, amazing." But what if one guy in the audience actually felt the stage move, and he actually looked around or behind him, and he could see things moving. Now, in the media, he's not going to get a voice. So, effectively, that means it didn't happen. If he didn't get his message out, then effectively he's neutralized and he's not a witness effectively at all.
Wife there, could you just repeat what you just said there, mate? I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I'm just going to mute for a sec.
No, this year, after 9/11, the big guy on the front seat of, I think it was, I don't know if it was CBS, whatever the Today Show is it Matt Lauer? Matt Lauer. And that guy now has absolutely no credibility. I don't know. Am I still coming? Have I been turned? Jeez, I think I have. I've been... I don't know if I'm... The worst thing about being online and chatting is like talking to yourself. I like to hear myself coming through. Check 212. There I am. So I can hear myself in the other room. Matt Lauer, you played a video ad years and years ago. And that guy being self-righteous and, this is 9/11 and doing all interviews. And that Howard Stern thing that our old mate or young mate, Velasette did. These people are the ones that need to be exposed. Because the only one of the reasons that I'm filthy on 9/11 is air travel. And Golden Skidmark, who Del Quayle so eloquently spoke to the other a few months back, said it turned him off traveling as well. So it's people like that that promote this bullshit lie, which is 9/11, and puts good people, honest people, people that are pacifists. We're not here out to fight. We're here for peace and love. I know that sounds a little bit bloody, I don't know, 60s, but that's what I'm out for. And the world has still got this massive, hangover when it comes to the military. And the military and these bastards will always create one. And 9/11 needs to be exposed to the mainstream for the crap that it was. No planes hit the towers. The tower collapses were CGI or whatever. There were models that were exploded from the top down. And as Simon Shack said, they were probably smoke-filled New York or lower Manhattan and just brought them down. Yeah. As you show, CDI, the two...
God, they're good,
two,
huh?
Yeah, they and then
those
CDI
demolitions,
just,
those demolitions are just perfect. They do. Man, are they ever good.
Yeah.
I wonder, maybe they don't show the screw-ups. Do you think they screw up at all, CDI?
There was one in Turkey when they tried to bring the car down.
Yeah, but CDI.
It wasn't CDI. It was just, it went wrong. Yeah. And the building just...
Yeah, we see a lot of Russian ones where things don't go perfectly. Yeah, but the way CDI does it, geez, they make these beautiful rubble piles. They're tiny and they're always really small. I'm always amazed how small the rubble piles are of some of these big buildings. Amazing.
Am I connected?
Yeah, I'll post that in the Fakeologist because that's sort of a deception technique. Magic tricks are just part of our perception of how things happen, and I'm going to post that as soon as I finish listening to it. Recommend. If you like professional podcasts, it's well done. Very interesting. I also sometimes post these type of podcasts on Moreab, moreab.fakeologist.com, where they're not really fakeologist related, but they're just interesting to me, and they might be interesting to you. 2212. 2212. They're all...
There we go. We'll try one more time. 212?
2212.
Yes.
Did you bomb out there? What happened?
Check 1-2. Check 1-2. There we go. We're back. Thank you, mate. I've got an older machine. The actual Discord app starts flashing, and I don't know what it is. I think it's because I've got an older machine, and I haven't updated it. And look, everything's working now, and I can hear me coming through in the other room on the radio live stream 3. I need to have that going, and if I don't hear that going, I end up talking to myself. You don't hear half of what's going on in the conversation, and then I don't hear half of what's going in the conversation. You know what I mean?
That's not good.
It doesn't make for a good back and forward. I like a back and forward, and that's one of the best things. All the people, I think, or the fakeologists, you would call them, have got smartphones now, and they're good on their phones, and yeah, all the levels are right, and makes for great conversation. And mostly they stick to fakeologist subject. A few of them, like you said, get a little bit off course, but mostly I love the crossover with, especially with Hoaxbusters and those guys over there. I really love the crossover there and those guys. And you can tell that with the Christmas message that I think it was it John Adams, Napoleon Wilson, and just did their Christmas cheers, and it was like a 2-minute or 3-minute message, and it was,
yeah, it was nice.
It was just good to hear, yeah. And
very pleasant.
That's what I'm here for. This is Pleasantville, Ab. Even though we are talking 9/11.
Yeah. You think we're done for the PSYOPs for this year? Not too many. Only 2 days left, or 1 day left. So I think we're done for the year. What was our last big one?
Yeah.
Would you say Las Vegas was the biggest? I guess so. That was a biggie.
The lost wages, yeah. Who was it that said, when you get up to the 32nd floor, even cars look small, so humans are going to look smaller.
Yeah, 32 is a long way up. It's a long way up.
Remember one time, I don't know what we were talking about, one year when you were saying, if I was going to jump from the second floor, I'd have to think about it. Third floor? Nah. You get a bust. You were talking about people jumping out of the Twin Towers.
I know
we shouldn't laugh. Not a chance.
I'm pretty sure I would just pass out on the floor if there was a fire and smoke. I you would not accept certain death for uncertain death, at least for the split second. You know, if you jumped out of the 80th or 90th or whatever floor they were on, you know for sure you're going to die. There's just no way around it. And it's a long way down to think about. I'm pretty sure almost nobody's going to do that.
It would have been a good day to be a base jumper, wouldn't it? Or, you know those base jumpers that jump off things like that, but they've got a parachute. But, yeah. No, we were sold a bill of goods that day. It was just rubbish. And, for real,
yeah,
I'm telling
you. Are you talking about these people that are these extreme thrill seekers that go to the top of buildings and take
and
pictures? I'm not sure any of that's true.
But I'm afraid of heights, Ab.
Well, I am at that height, too. I get nervous getting up on my ladder, getting up to the eavesdrops. Cleaning them out.
I went to New Zealand recently in an A380, one of those double decker planes, these massive things, and I wasn't afraid at all because I knew that thing wasn't going to fall out of the sky.
Why is that
New Zealand in 3 hours?
I thought is that the biggest plane on?
It's huge.
Is that the biggest?
It's awesome.
Plane?
Yeah, it's got. Like 500 passengers. It takes a bloody hour and a half to get people on and off it.
Why does that fly from Australia to New Zealand? That seems too short a trip.
It goes to Dubai. It goes to Dubai.
Oh. So it stops over in New Zealand on the way to Dubai?
Yeah, and then goes off to Dubai, yeah.
Yep. Those planes are so big, they need extra long runways, too.
Yeah.
They can only land at certain airports. I know in Toronto they had to lengthen the runway just for that plane.
Awesome, too. It's an awesome ride. When you're in coach, because we were in coach, you're not like squished in. You're actually got, it's almost like business class in coach on those things.
Oh, okay.
I'm not.
So you just used that to hop over to New Zealand. You didn't go all the way to Dubai?
No, I just went to New Zealand. Here you come.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Oh, there you are, Ab. Yes, just to get to New Zealand, and it was just wonderful. And it was cheap.
Well, cheaper than Air Australia.
Qantas. Oh, we don't. Look, I'm not shilling for any airline, but even though Qantas has the in Rain Man, Dustin Hoffman said, "I'm never going to fly any other airline." Qantas, you know, with what was his? Is that short guy? I forgot the short guy who's in Rain Man.
Dustin Hoffman is a short guy, apparently.
But the other short guy, who's probably even shorter than him, the guy that
Pesky?
That was in the Jack Reacher, they put him in the Jack Reacher, new Jack Reacher films. Tom Cruise. And these guys are 5 foot nothing. Yeah, have you ever read a Jack Reacher novel? He's like 6.5 foot, and he's supposed to be punching the crap out of people. That's Hollywood magic for you. You've got Tom Cruise playing Jack Reacher. It doesn't make any sense to me, but there you go. These people
Tom
never
Cruise
meet.
Has a big head too, doesn't he?
Just slightly. Apparently, he was a pain in the ass when he was with Brad Pitt on what was it? The Interview with a Vampire. He was pissed off because Brad Pitt was taller than him and better looking than him. Couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle the truth.
Well, maybe Brad Pitt is an in-betweener, as I like to call them.
Look, they're black dudes.
You know,
and,
think about this,
They entertain us, as Napoleon Wilson said the other night. We were talking about Leon, or it's called The Professional. They spend a lot of money entertaining us. I watched, after I spoke to Napoleon Wilson, rewatched The Professional, and you see the Twin Towers in the very first shot. Up the street, you see the Twin Towers. Yeah, there they are.
Yeah, Sophia Smallstorm, who some people think is a shill or a misdirector or misinformation, she has some really interesting talks, and I do like listening to it. And she came up with the idea that we all accept the idea that there are sperm banks, and we're aware that this is a true thing. And therefore, we also are aware, probably less prominent, are egg banks, where you can harvest women's eggs. Allegedly, a woman has hundreds of thousands of eggs that they can harvest. Only 400 ever make it down the
pipe.
Where
you go with this?
What is to stop? What is there to stop the sperm banks and the egg banks, if they're not run by the same company, to get together and to just start fiddling and creating unauthorized human beings? There is absolutely, if you think about it, nothing ethically, but there's no regulations, I don't think, to stop that from happening. And what is it? Is there anything to stop them from going all the way and creating life and incubating it? And you have all kinds of dispossessed people.
Looney Tunes to me, but
why isn't it possible? It is possible. There's nothing magical about it.
I don't have any expertise on that subject. I'd rather not go there, Ab. And I have so many issues with Sophia Smallstorm.
Isn't that disturbing?
To me, like, she's disturbing. When I listen to her talk with Jim Fetter, and they just go, and they go on these subjects, and they bring, and the reason we're talking about it now is Sophia Smallstorm. Oh yeah, Sophia Smallstorm was a big Sandy Hawk. Yeah, Sandy Hawk. Yeah, but I think she's the shit into the punch bowl. Nothing about her I like. If you get an interview with her, you can ask those questions yourself.
Could you want to?
Check one, two. I'm back. Yeah, and you're back.
I'm back. We're all back. Oh, so you don't want to go there with that baby thing. Yeah, it's disturbing, though.
Look, again, I'm not an expert on that. So if you get an interview with, as I said before, with Sophia Smallstorm and you want to have that conversation, you're more than welcome. If that's where you want to go with it, that's fine. I don't have any. Yeah, of course. I listen to everything on fakeologist.com. It doesn't matter where it goes. I listened to 6 hours with Chris when you had Chris Kendall here for 6 hours. You had the Golden Skid Mark with Del Quan going for 4 hours. I laughed so hard most of the way through that, and because those guys are just having a good time, and a lot of it is fakeologists. You say you can talk here on Fakeologist. You can come here as long as you verify it, and as long as it's related to fakeology, go for it. And and you've given everyone the opportunity to do that, and I appreciate you. And mostly. It's interesting. I mean, Kay Ham again said the other day, and when she talks to John Adams, she comes away feeling good. And if it's JLB, John Le Bon, she comes away feeling a little bit not good. But part of radio, and look, did you feel good after you listened to Lynn and Kay Ham go at it? That time, you said negative, it was negative, but I didn't feel either way. I was a bit ambivalent.
Yeah, okay. I was okay with it.
I'm a bit hard, didn't she? Fuck Simon Shack! Fuck Simon Shack!
Get an ice
whoa! Whoa! Mike Smay. That was good. That was, but she was baiting Lynn.
I think she was jealous because she's put in all this groundwork and truth.
The one that died of cancer, the web fairy or whatever it was, and where were you? Where were you in 2005? Where were you in 2006? And we're going, is it all about ego? Is it all about where
really,
we were? It's that.
Who knew there was a hierarchy? You got to pay tribute to these people on the ground.
Because
seems ludicrous.
Back in the day, if Missam, if you're listening and you're going through all the old audios, I was drunk on a lot of them, and this guy Nico helped was drunk on a lot of them, even though he was speaking truth. It does look like discredit by association. Sometimes, especially in the early days when I've chatted with you, you have to be drunk to talk about this subject because it was just so bloody awful. But you've always been, rock, where you just talk to everyone equally, evenly. Every single person I've heard you interview, and everyone has the highest respect for you, and good for you. Yeah, I'm not trying to blow smoke up your ass or anything, but hey, it is the end of the year 2017, so and we're looking forward to 2018, and Fakeologist is going to go onward and upward.
So, yes, can I concur with that wonderful positive statement and say we all blow smoke firmly up your ass into 2018.
Hello, Thomas. Thomas Delpra. He's a fan but a critic at the same time. We always welcome Tom. How are you?
Walking on sunshine. Woo! I'm walking on sunshine, Tom. Woo!
One of the all-time top stars there.
The triggered roll.
Good to hear, Tommy.
Yeah, it's a voice from the yes, the original, one of the originals.
How's everything, Tom? Everything good?
Tell the other.
Everything good, he said. Is everything good, Tom?
Yeah. It's trying to working things through, you know.
Santa Claus visit you?
Told me a whole load of stuff that bath stuff. So I came out of Christmas with a large amount of body wash and
wow.
You know, body lotion. And I just I wondered if you know he was trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
Actually, because I'm just trying to clean up my act here and sort of get my house clean. I've got work to do. Actually,
you're a real stinker, eh?
No, well, not, but not looking after my personal self perhaps as much as my, you know, my space. I'm in the process of really cleaning up my sort of personal act, so to speak. Literally.
Are you going to get a brush cut?
No, I'm talking about being on my knees cleaning my skirting boards with a little wipe, you know.
Are you going to get a haircut this year?
Properly, starting flossing again, actually thinking about looking about after my teeth, thinking about general health and stuff. So,
how about a haircut?
Lucky, I'd hair cut the whole lot off. I mean, it's almost to that point.
Okay.
Hopefully, yeah, it's not a bad shout. A haircut. Get a fucking haircut. I've had that all my life. I'm sorry, it's in live stream. I told myself not to come in live stream. But I just, because Rollo's here, I just want to come and say, yeah, hello. And probably
yes,
good
come
bye.
On, hang out. Hang out. Oh,
shut
stream.
Up. I'll mute myself.
No, it's okay.
Don't mute.
You're good. You're good.
We enjoyed watching your old band. What was that challenge that people did where they threw their stuff in their mouth? What was your old band in 86, Tommy, when you were a madman? Nutmeg. Was it the nutmeg challenge did they do? Or it was cinnamon that they did?
Cinnamon, yeah.
Yeah, nutmeg, cinnamon. No, it's good.
Something else from the spice rack.
How did you come up with the name nutmeg? Are you a nutter? And did you know a girl called Meg?
You could definitely make a case for both of those. But the name came from, actually, the truth is, we were in the kitchen and the drummer, Neil, the old sound boy Neil, said nutmeg. Matthew and I looked at each other and we said, yeah, it's kind of like fun. And it was sort of wholesome. It appeared wholesome. But we later found out that you can trip on nutmeg. It can be sort of have a psychoactive ingredient if consumed in the certain manner. But please don't jump to try and do that with your nutmeg and bung a few nutmeg down your neck because apparently the trip is very unpleasant. Anyway, that was later, and we found out later. But a positive, nice name, Nutmeg. Yeah, we were for a bit nutty. Yeah. And in England, they're going mental. That was our first hit.
Is it online? Can we play it now?
Versions of it are. Yeah. And in England, they're going mental. We got a review in the NME and a picture in there at the time, and it said Back to the Future of Rock and Roll. That was 1985.
Send me the link. Send me the link now, Tommy. I know. Ab doesn't want to play any music. Send me the link and I'll play it. Come on, let's play it now. It's the end of the year.
Right. Yeah, live stream chat. I'll find some link to it. Some silly song me jumping around like an idiot, mate. But I think it helped put the word mental
Tommy,
vernacular with the onset of the ease. What's that? Yeah.
Please send it to me directly.
Boys, I'll next shut up now again. I feel I'm rambling again, which is what I was worried about. Which is why I said I was going to say.
This is Fakeologist End of Year Special. Here we are with Ab, and we're here with Tom Dalpra, and anyone else is free to come and join us and have a good time. Because
is there anyone else online in the Discord that you can see?
Napoleon Wilson is definitely there, and we've got Silverbean and Tryptamine. I think Tryptamine's from America. Yeah, and we've got Silverbeam, who's from Ballarat. So he's there, and his light's on. I don't know what they're doing. They might be playing computer games or whatever, or just listening in. I don't know. Yeah. But we've certainly got Tom Dowdy.
His famous most favorite event of 2017 was. Does he have one?
The Grenfell Towers. Grenfell Towers, am I guessing? Right. Tom?
Does that get much play in Australia? And, didn't get much play where I am.
There was the up near Manchester. There was the Anna Grant. What about there in Canada, Ab? What was the big hoax? Was there hoax? A big? They don't do big hoaxes up there in Canada, do they?
I don't know. I can't think of nothing is hitting me right now.
Mm.
Nothing is really hitting me that comes to mind. We had a billionaire couple murdered this month, and I'm smelling rats all over that one. Billionaires just don't get murdered, do they?
No.
With a B, billionaire?
Not unless they do something very wrong.
Do you know any billionaires in Australia? Because there can't be that many, and even in Australia or Canada. I'm not afraid.
No, I don't want to mention names. I don't want to mention names, but because they haven't done anything wrong, so as far as I'm aware, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of anything, but I don't want to mention billionaires' names. Certainly not an anthologist that I'm aware of that they haven't done anything wrong, as far as I'm aware. See what I mean? It's you got to be careful in that respect. But apart from that, So who were these billionaires that were murdered? As mainstream news?
Yes. Well, I don't know much about them because they're not very public figures. But now, of course, we're trying to learn more about them because the media is putting them in the middle, and they were said to run a generic drug company, which is a company I guess that knocks off drugs based on an expired patent, and he became a billionaire, and the whole story is very, very suspicious, to say the least, and the words that the media uses to describe the event are very weaselly and very indicative of a hoax. For instance, you never get an actual person quoting on the story. You always get police sources or former detective says. You get all these people weighing in on the case, but none officially, which makes me wonder if anything officially happened. So it's very strange. Very strange one. I don't really know. I would just say that if there was some jiggery pokery, if it's true that behind all great fortune is a great crime, then perhaps they just decided to get out while the going's good. Well, they still have maybe some modicum of health. And if the whole company is about to go down because of fraud and or exposure of how they became so big. Their biggest account was the United States military, for goodness sakes. Now, that why would a Canadian company that distributes drugs, why would they have gotten their start with the United States military? Other than the fact that they're probably the biggest customer in the world when it comes to consuming anything as an entity. Anytime you get a military contract for the biggest army in the world, there's got to be a lot going on there to get it, keep it. So maybe that's all tied in. I don't know. But it was another company that started in someone's garage. I love those stories about these billionaire dollar companies, global companies that start in a garage. How many times have we heard that one?
Yes, as they say.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, I was going to say, just hat tip to Sean on that one in the chat. He was talking about, garages. You know, classic,
See, if you ever buy a house, make sure it has a garage because you can become a billionaire.
What's the original name of origin of the word? Is to cover up. How appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah. garage music.
That was a big story here.
Ab, at some stage, Ab, give me permission to play some Nutmeg, and it doesn't go for very long, but it sounds good to me.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Let's okay. hear
don't play that. No, no, don't play that. No, no, I sent that to you in a private message.
Go to mute. Go to mute. Go to mute, Tom. Here we go. Here's some Nutmeg.
It's not. Horrible noise. No, no, stop playing with your fingers. Stop doubling the music. I'd rather have another kick over. This is why I'm talking over. That's it. Enough of that. Entirely enough of that annoying. No, it's too noisy, man. It's
an annoying noise.
Hey, guys, I'm gonna go and have a spliff, Tommy, and I'll be back in five. You and Ab have a chat.
Yeah, that wasn't one of the best, most musical things I've heard.
No, it's just, as I say, it's just a recording off a VHS tape, and it's not, the sound quality is terrible on it. It sounds horrible to listen to. Yeah, absolutely. You don't get any flavour of it at all, really.
No, no, not many. Anyway,
nah.
Yeah.
But yeah. So you're right, Tim. You had a good holiday.
Had a couple of days off. Wouldn't call it a holiday. But yeah, it's just been really cold here. Unseasonably cold.
Right. Yeah.
There's no break in sight. There's always a break in sight, but right now there is no. Above freezing in sight, which can be disconcerting for those that can't stand the extreme cold.
You know, that's why a nation grew up playing hockey, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't build a rink this year. See, this might have been the year to build one because it had sustained below zero.
Yeah, we'd very rarely get that in England. In fact, really, we don't get it to that level ever these days.
No.
You know,
that bloody Gulf Stream you got there, that warm water.
A little bit milder. We still get, I mean, I suffer when it gets cold because I haven't, it's just having enough money to put on the meter at this moment in time.
Oh, really?
Sometimes, well, to have the heat.
Good.
Exactly. So it's, just expensive for someone, on very little income at this minute in time. That's an economy drive. Is it colder in the house?
Did we lose? Did we lose Tommy? I didn't have a slip. I just had a sick. I was lying.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had the interesting experience of stopping the old, going sort of what you could call it, without having any weed or drink or tobacco. Too much tobacco, actually. But just trying to tweak my habits. Yeah, definitely beneficial, but the hard work in the sense of, you know, psychologically, a whole rethink and a good thing. Anyway, yes.
How much acid have you done, Tommy?
Excuse me?
Velocet was saying that he's doing acid, and I'm sort of dead against that. I mean, you have good trips and you have acid, and, is that a question to ask?
Well, you know, you get ease, you get all sorts, isn't it?
Good. Ease are good. Is Ebenezer good? Ease don't change the mind.
For the feel-good drug that were agents of a sort of cultural revolutions, weren't they? They are. Yeah.
Pure MDMA. This is not a drug. This is not a drug channel. This is fakeologist.com. Fakeologist.com. And that is true. And pure MDMA, I've done it a ton. It floods the serotonin out of the brain. That's what we're told. And it does make you feel really, really good and very loving. And they made it illegal, back in the 50s or something, that's what psychiatrists used to, they used to take a little bit so it'd make everyone open up and be more,
was that right? It,
truthful. Truthful, yes. Oh,
that's an alcohol,
MDMA, but
same?
Not the, oh yeah, I think so. Why not? Unless you take too much, I've never heard you, in the 6 years I've spoken to you, Ab, I don't think I've ever heard you drunk as a skunk on air.
You never will.
I don't. You don't partake.
Because I don't drink.
You don't drink. There you go.
Me neither.
There you go.
Yeah. Very expensive. Yeah. Well, at least here with the taxation on it.
You definitely, if you drink, trying to drink in a pub like I used to in the old days, which is really nice and sociable thing to do.
Go broke.
Yeah.
Don't they charge a lot
the
for
sad
wine
part,
now?
The sad part is sometimes... typo, we love him dearly, does overindulge and come on air and he almost a nuisance sometimes. And
always a nuisance.
Not always. Come on, Ab. Not
when
always.
Drunk,
you've got to keep
him
on.
Come on, Catty. Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely little pussycat. Yeah, you gorgeous little devil, you. Yeah, I mean, he's a legend, isn't he? But he's hilarious.
Sorry, Ab, to cut you off. Tommy, just before he goes, when he goes to the off license, you know, he's just gone to the off license. Yeah, he's pretty good. But sometimes, some of those audio chats this year, sorry to speak, I'm not speaking bad about him because, he just, you've got to let a conversation flow a little bit. You know what I mean?
Because he can't hear.
Hmm. You got hearing aids, or he's got no teeth, apparently. But come on, typos. I'm just ease up. But mostly, if you can get what is coming out of his mouth, it's good. Napoleon Wilson. I don't know if he's a drinker, but he certainly likes a joint or two, and he's as clear as a bell. And this is one of the nicest fakeologists I've heard this year. Tommy, I've known you for years, and you're miss him. I don't know what. Maybe she's into red wine. I don't know, but she's lovely.
She said you've known me for years, yeah. But and then just skipped on to miss him, who's brand new. Anyway,
yeah, come on, give Tom a comment.
No, miss him is new.
Well, you are. Tommy, you're from Cambridge, and you're a carer, and you do care. I know you do. helped me out. If I'm going to talk about 2017, it will be my annus horribilis, because my mother died, and it's a kick in the guts. Yeah, still trying to get over. Some people like their mothers, some people don't. There are fakeologists. Said they didn't like their parents. I'm not going to name them. They know who they are. I love my mother, and it was tough
most
going.
Most psychologists' parents are not understanding of the study. Was your mother aware and or accepting of your studies?
She knew that I was outspoken, and I thought 9/11 was a disgrace, and I spoke about it. Constantly when I was going through my breakdown in, I don't know, 2003, 2004, and when I was listening to Alex Jones, God, that's the worst thing you want to listen to, is that motherfucker. He's not going to help you one bit. And,
Well.
Evil, yeah. And then my best friend's dropped dead this year as well, of a heart attack at 44. So it's not a good year. It's not a good year for me. I don't mean to bring the mood down here, but
no,
it's my anus.
I lost my best friend too this year. It's pretty sad.
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not coming back.
No,
but, we're still here. We're still here, Rab, and we're looking forward to 2018. And fakeologists, with people, that you've organically grown this huge team of people and invite them in now. They come in and have a chat now for the end of year special. This will be the end of year special, won't it? Or if it keeps going for 2 days, yeah, why not?
We got a lot of voices, new voices this year. Yeah, I'll make it go. Yeah, should we have a New Year's party where we just drop in and say hi? I guess we should.
Been it already, aren't we? This is kind of
that's true.
Yeah, I like the way of putting that. Put a name to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What day is it today? It's the 30th, though. We are a little early.
Yeah, but this from Christmas.
Like you said, like they said, it's down to 24 hours. It'll be the New Year's Eve show.
I like your Christmas party, John Adams and Kay Ham, and a whole slew of fakeologists on that Christmas party, and it was really good, and I enjoyed it 100%. Even when John LeBron came in the middle there, and John Adams called him, well, in America, that's what we call being a dick. And SMJ wrote in the comments, you really got to be a dick if John Adams is going to call you one. I love that. SMJ's a no-nonsense guy, isn't he?
Yeah. Right. He likes to drink, too.
Yeah, well, not you. Yeah.
Just stay away from it.
Funny. Morris, A.A. Morris, who John is a big fan of, then promotes John on the end of his latest article, which...
Oh, yeah? What did he say? I didn't read that.
It's in Discord. So he's still promoting him. He just said a big up to John LeBond's work, who I admire. This was this A.A. Morris.
Yeah.
And also Fakeologist was mentioned in there as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't read it.
Yeah, it's fine. It was just this, propaganda, I think. I read a couple of things that he'd written, and I quite liked it, and was drawn into it, and, that's fine, wasn't it? I think the thing was, in the text comments on the post, on the original post, you didn't get the full context, because John had come in sort of calling John boring.
Yeah, I missed that. Yeah, I shouldn't have commented until I heard the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So
comments were out of context, yeah.
That's quite right. It's no big deal, as you say. I'm sure we're all going to handbags, as we call it, as we say in England.
Yeah, I think it's, it's not polite to speak about other fakeologists behind their back, because it's only going to split the fakeologist community up. But if you know people well enough, and especially with the creating this site, and you, Tom, you've been here for so long, and you've spoken to John LeBond on multiple occasions, and so have you, Ab, and so have I. So we can speak with some authority, and John LeBond is a bit of an agitator. John Adams is. What he says is, look, he will always speak to people politely, and so SMJ for saying that afterwards, John LeBond must have been doing something in the I haven't read it John Adams to say something like that, because this isn't a knitting circle. We're here for the truth, and we're here to be like-minded. I read the comments underneath that thing that Chris Kendall did with those vegans the other day. There's some bloody awful comments under there. And it's just good. And fakeologists...
Well, that's like a mismatch.
Try and get on as best you can. And,
leaving the...
Go, Tom. I was rambling. Yeah.
He was drunk and she was stoned. It was ridiculous.
Who was drunk?
No, I mean, I'm using that as a metaphor, in the sense that they were in different perspectives. It was like a non-starter, wasn't it? Chris was all these knowledge of really sort of deep research, sort of the truth about things.
Yeah, it really wasn't that good. Wasn't that interesting. It never is, really, because these people aren't in the same mindset.
It was revealing in itself, informative to a level. Yeah, so I'm not saying it didn't have some worth.
Tommy, do you want to hear something amusing about that chat? That, yeah, my wife, Chris Kendall, and says he's got beautiful blue eyes. I think my wife has got a crush on him.
Could you see the color of his eyes? I didn't even look. I guess that's something a female would do.
Full widescreen here. Yeah.
It's a good sign.
Oh, you had him blown up into the 3x5 or something?
We had it on the big Orwellian screen that's supposed to come into our room.
Oh, wow. Get it on the telescreen.
Yep.
From the bonkers. Learn some tips from Chris of how to be sexy then. Look, the hat and the beard.
I just think it's destroyed the illusion. And the only other gif I had was a tiny little picture of him, but seeing him there on the big screen, I can't wait to see the day that Ab does one of those. Are you going to do one of those, Ab, where you get up there with your little mic in front of you? It's not going to happen, is it, mate? Not anytime soon. There we go.
Well, he did let a flash of him walk past on a webcam once. And
yes.
You know, all right, Tim kind of vaguely got a vague idea of what you look like.
It's not interesting, really. You won't be excited.
Exactly. It's all...
When you film that car flipping over, you could see you in that video.
That was me, though.
Blew it up. I'm not saying it's you. I'm not saying it's you. I don't know it's you.
There are other people around.
Maybe mucking around there. You look like. I've been sent pictures by people that say what you look like. And I've sent pictures. Hey, listen. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. Of what Simon Shack looked like and what Hoi Polloi looked like. And when I spoke to... And K-Ham. And when I spoke to them on Skype, certainly Hoi Polloi, I had them on high res, and I've got screen captures. Not that I'll ever disseminate them, of K-Ham and Hoi. And,
as long as you don't have pictures of everyone up on your wall with big red slashes through them, or darts.
Go with that. Yeah, because I'm some sort of long cod freak show. I'm going to come take you all out. No. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. No. I think you're all, I'm going to say you're all wonderful, but you're all here for the truth as the best we know it, and that's what it's all about. And if I do make it up there to Toronto, or I make it back there over to England, I'll make sure I'm coming and we can hook up.
Yeah. I'd like to make it to Australia.
Dell's coming over.
Can't imagine.
You've got to get down here.
It should be easier to get from Ireland to England. That shouldn't be too hard.
To pop over the sea.
Yeah. And your flights are so cheap over there.
A ferry, yeah.
Coast and get a ferry from Wales, yeah.
Aren't the flights pretty cheap? To Dublin.
Get one, yeah, easy, yeah. For what, $200? Easily.
It's fun trip. Yeah.
A bit cheaper.
Tom, what's your favorite development on the Fakeologist site this year, being a long-time supporter? But anything exciting for you this year?
It changes, doesn't it, as with things that when Discord comes along. I think that came this year. Did it come this year?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
So that's an interesting development, and there's sort of more sort of traffic coming through on a Discord.
Yeah.
A more accessible sort of platform off the main page. More traffic, which makes it interesting. So it feels like it's alive in its own way. It hasn't taken away from the front page. There's been some lively debates on comment sections in there recently, which is good to see. Do a bit of colour on the front page. You know, it's good. It's good. It's all right. Message is simple message, because for a lot of people, you could come to this site afresh, couldn't you? So you have it again. It's this perspective thing. Such an old hand like myself. You feel
what about the Fakeopedia? Is that interesting to you?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's lots of, hopefully, lots of, a few of my links on there, which I see that in the time to put together, which was good. You know, hunted up a bit of reference to some things. Charles Mathis down.
Seems like, it seems like a good way to present information, I think.
Yeah, it's actually a good, it's not a bad little way of getting into looking at various things at all, that link. I looked at Fakeopedia, but there's various versions of it online, I think. It's not the first thing that comes up. Fakeologist, Fakeopedia, and you're there.
That's true, yeah. Well, it'll move up if Google's truthful.
Interesting. That'll be an interesting study
if Google actually lets it float to the top. Because the other sites are just nonsense sites. We'll have to see if Google
really
is truthful
on
letting it go up. Yeah,
And link some of my things. Yeah, that will be good. It'd be in a really simple way and of sort of a bit, presenting it a little bit. Yeah, I put some links in there. I'll have to try and get savvy with that. Did ask me, and I just got grumpy when he said Bill Hicks is Alex Jones. You know, sigh.
Yeah, who cares about that? Doesn't
before
you
get
on
to the end of the day, Bill Hicks is Alex. On to Bill Hicks is Alex Jones. I can add to this conversation. In 2006, I ran a baseball club, the Newcastle Baseball Club, and we got our baseball site unibaseball.org from like third page to in 6 months to the top page with hits. So it did work back then. I don't know how the algorithm works now, but it worked back then. But the more hits you get, the more you go to the top. Yeah, so it worked back then. And if they've changed the algorithm, Google, this massive corporation, but it worked back then. I don't know whether, sorry to cut you off, Ab, but whether it works on fakeologists, because they might frown upon exposing when it's sports, they'll let it go, they'll let it go to the top. But if it's edgy subjects that we talk about, I'm not talking about Alex Jones being fucking Bill, I'm talking about no planes hitting towers and nothing hitting the Pentagon and nothing flying into the ground at Shanksville, that's the sort of stuff maybe people don't want to hear, or the people at Google don't want to hear, because that's the stuff that's the truth. They don't want to hear that, and they don't want the world to hear that. But you'll hear it here at Fakeologists, and that's
good point.
And we've only got to disseminate it. The only reason we talk about it, I think, is to make sure that they don't get away with it again. I don't want another 9/11. Not on my watch. I don't want one. No. There you go.
But you're going to get all the little ones. They come fast and furious. You've had a few in Australia this year. The Sydney Siege this year. And PK and the rise and fall of PK. Those are your big stories. Was that this year?
I felt when I spoke to him one time when I was with John Lavon. And it was a little bit fear-mongering. What I heard, and this wasn't live. He sounded fear-mongering to me. He seemed to do his videos, but that Sydney Siege at the Lint Clap, Sydney, that wasn't this year. No, that was...
That was last year?
That was last year. We had get this... it was a hoax. There was no doubt about it. There was this guy holding up an ISIS flag in the window, and it was across the road from Channel 7. And it was a joke. It's a joke. It's a sick joke. Whoever's running, what's that? It's a website called Sight. This woman who looks like she's got, like, the worst bloody suntan in the world has created this site, a website called Site, and And they get these people with beards and with these black flags, and they put them on the back of these, and film them, and then they put a sort of wavy fat flag in the corner just to make an enemy. It's just rubbish. It's rubbish, and of course the mainstream media just goes with it. They can't help themselves. They won't question. They won't question the bull crap that we're being. And it's not we, as in the royal we. It's like your average Joe who's still. The fuck would you still watch television when you got Netflix and Hulu and God, all everything on demand now? Why would you watch that crap? I don't know. There you go. People still do watch the and. Well, it's cheap television, and the newsreaders will not question. And I, when what's his name got busted this year for being like a predator, sexual. Now is that a fake thing? That Matt Lauer had a little button in his and did all sorts of sexual. Weinstein. And Hoffman and a whole slew of people being outed as sexual predators. Is that, I can't remember any women being sexual predators in there. Maybe they'll fix that up in 2018. I don't know. What do you reckon, guys? This thing has just, it's gone nuts.
Oh, well, Tryptamine's listening from Africa. From Morocco. Hi, Tryptamine. He does well. I'm surprised anyone can understand what the fuck's going on, let alone what the fuck's going on in a third language.
Tell them to come and join live stream chat. Come on, Tryptamine, come and join. What's going on in Morocco? What, 2017? I listened to him chat with, I think, Gaia for a couple of hours.
Right, and, right.
Those guys are...
I did that embarrassing thing where I started speaking very clearly and enunciating my words, almost patronisingly, so that he could understand what I was talking about. Back on, I cringed.
You can speak fluent Portuguese. You can speak fluent Portuguese, can't you?
Hablo portuguese. No hablo español también. Pero tengo dos exnovias. Tu una peruana... y una chica de España también. Y encanto las chicas. Yeah. Mi alma, siempre. Blah, blah, blah. But no, I can't speak Spanish. And je ne parle pas français aussi. J'ai oublié tout. À l'école pour 3 ans, mais j'ai oublié tout. Yes, yeah, whatever. I don't speak French, I don't speak Spanish, but I could get away with a few sentences for like a hostage situation. If I just needed to be like a native.
Yeah, getting back to Matt Lauer, though, I think they're just phasing these guys out and using them. I think he might have been used his power probably maybe a little bit, but I think all these major guys are just getting phased out. And this is never let an event go without adding some extra hoaxery to it. I'm sure they want to get rid of these high-salaried media people, if we believe they're making high salary, which they probably are, because nobody's watching anymore. I think that's the main thing. And if they can bring on this female harassment issue that may or may not be a big problem, then that's what they're going to do. Pile it on.
An automated voice telling you about it. You know, why use a human being? Cut out the middleman so no one has to lie. It's just a machine.
Yeah. The Big Brother voice. Yeah, good point.
Well, it's almost like
but
that.
Do you really think all these guys are predators? Bill Cosby, Matt Lauer, Bill O'Reilly. I just think nobody's watching and they're going to get fired anyway.
It's like selective. You choose to prosecute, you know, arseholes.
None of them are going to be prosecuted. That's the whole point.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Was funny.
Did you like that, Tom? Will it inspire you to hit the PayPal button?
Well, I think the music is, yeah, that song is catchy, certainly, yeah.
But all the songs are so good.
You have an anonymous donation. I asked you that before. Does it all have your name have to come up when you've done it?
No, I know. Yeah, that's a problem.
Private.
You can't. I guess I'll have to figure out how to do Bitcoin. I think you can do that anonymously.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Hello, Dan.
Hi, Trip to Me.
Hi, Trip to Me. So,
put someone's name on the webs.
How do I...
You don't have to put the person's name on the website.
No, that's fine. I don't put their name on the website, actually. Maybe, but they don't want me to know their corporate name. I get that. I understand that. Well, how do I go about? Getting a Bitcoin account or wallet? Can someone explain it? Because I did it once before, but I couldn't figure out. I was at a company and I had to give my name. It's all kinds of middlemen. I hate middlemen.
Yeah, well, Bitcoin. Go ahead. I'm sorry, you finished.
Okay. You go ahead.
Okay, so if you want to make a wallet, there's a lot of websites you can make a wallet in. That's not the problem.
Okay.
The problem for you is to make the Bitcoin extension in the website so you can accept payments as Bitcoin or donations at Bitcoin.
Okay.
And it's not that hard. I can help you with it if you want. But, yeah,
okay, yeah.
It's gonna take some
time. Lead me through the steps and I'll do it. Because John LeBon did mention he would give little bit, because obviously he doesn't want to give his corporate name, and so that's fine. I don't mind. I'll do it, but I just didn't see a clear path between getting the Bitcoin and turning it into real money. Is there a clear path for that?
Well, acquiring Bitcoin, you mean you can just exchange it. That's how people turn Bitcoin into real money. They exchange. And there's a lot of websites where you that have that purpose, just exchanging Bitcoin with other currencies, whether other Bitcoins or actual cash. Yeah.
Okay, I like cash. But
yeah.
I do like the idea about Bitcoin if it's anonymous.
Yeah, it's anonymous.
Yeah. And you know, I guess it's going to be shut down one day because it'll be perfect for money laundering, and the world banking system has legal money laundering systems, and I don't think they want a competing one.
Yeah, well, I have my own theory about all of that, but yeah.
Go ahead. What's your theory?
Well, the thing is, when did Bitcoin start? It started right after the financial crisis in 2008, right?
Okay.
It started like 2 months, or like not even a year after the financial crisis, and no one actually knows who started Bitcoin. He goes by the name Nakamoto Satoshi or something like that, but no one knows who it actually is. It might be the NSA, it might be anything, and no one actually knows who the real.
It might be an actual bank.
Yeah, that's the thing. No one knows. It may be the another way of. Like another bubble, just the way the 2008 financial crisis
happened.
Well,
did it start in somebody's garage or basement?
Yeah, well, it could, but he would have a lot. He would need a lot of resources to actually develop Bitcoin at that time. Yeah.
Yes, I'm just joking. I'm saying all
even,
big corporations.
Yeah, that's it. And even the hash functions that are used to encrypt the public key and private keys in Bitcoin. Blockchain technology, they're all using a hash function that is developed by the NSA. Function. In other words, the encryption tool that is used in Bitcoin is made by the NSA. I mean, there's a lot of speculation about all of that. The reason why... Yeah.
What's the smallest amount of Bitcoin you can give? What's its dollar equivalent?
No, you can have fractions of Bitcoin. Yeah, you can have any fraction of Bitcoin. I actually had 0.6. I bought it in 2015 when it was around $300. But I already sold it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that
I bought
so fractions. Is one Bitcoin worth 19,000 or something now?
Yeah, a lot more. Not only 19,000. It was around 16. Now it reached even 20,000. Yeah, something like that. I haven't been following the prices recently.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's worth. People say it's gonna be worth $500,000 in 2 years or something. Yeah, people are crazy. But yeah, it's, I mean, I'm being cautious about all of it.
So, in other words, you had 0.6 Bitcoin, so that would have been worth about $10,000 had you kept it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Okay, so, well, I'll start a wallet. If you could just maybe lay that out for me in the... In the general, just put it in the Discord because other people might want to do the same thing.
Yeah, but I don't want to be responsible for people getting into something that might be dangerous in the future. But, okay, yeah. I'm going to...
Well, okay, whatever your comfort level, that's fine.
Yeah, because it might, because right now it really looks like a bubble, something that would collapse at any moment. People think the real value of Bitcoin is $0, actually. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's digital money. It does seem to be sort of the, I think we've got PayPal. We've got.
Well, I think isn't the selling point of Bitcoin that it's not
centralized.
Well, it's more. Well, yeah, and it's more finite. In other words, someone can't just make a zillion bitcoins and devalue it instantly like they can every other currency.
Yeah, exactly. Bitcoin actually takes effort to create. That's what mining is. Just like gold, to create Bitcoin, people have to invest effort. They have to have like machines that require a lot of electricity and time to mine Bitcoin. That's the blockchain. Just like gold, you have to go into a mine and actually mine for it to make it. Not just like fiat money who are just printed
out of nothing. Okay,
it requires something to make. Yeah.
Okay, I understand now. I get it. It'll be like anything else, though. Some central group will just end up buying and controlling all of them anyway. The rich always stay rich.
Yeah. I personally think that it's the tool for the next financial crisis. It might be what they'll use to crash the economy once again. I don't know. Because a lot of people are buying into it. A lot of people trust it. And the thing is, most people that invest in Bitcoin, most of them have no idea how the technology works. They just heard that some guy got rich somehow, and they just want to invest in it.
But that's like any other investment. Do you think that a guy that buys a stock in a company knows any details of the company and where it's going? And they know how it got to where it is, but we don't know where, when we buy Amazon, we don't know where the company's going. We don't know where all the money's going. We don't know what the plans are. We know nothing about it. We know it's there, and they're selling stuff, but we can't see the future. So it's a gamble. It's not as big of a gamble because we can see it. We can go there. We can see the people that work there.
I guess
that's what a stock is, though. Any company, just a loose arrangement of people, or a legal arrangement of people and goods and so.
Yeah. I mean, that's for traders, people who trade the commodity, not for investors who, like, because a lot of people believe in Bitcoin. They actually say have Bitcoin, they have fractions of Bitcoins in their wallets, and they're holding into it, and they're just waiting for it to keep going up. And, yeah, more people are doing that, and that's the problem.
Okay.
If more people hold to Bitcoin and it may crash any time, that's a problem.
Yeah, but people hold currency in their bank accounts. And they don't actually, with zero interest, they make no money. They lose money every year. So there's, it's just another currency, which is just a belief system. And the more people that accept it, the more valuable it should be, theoretically.
Yeah.
That's all. There's nothing wrong with traders either. Traders add liquidity. The more people that trade something, the more liquid it is. And you want liquidity as well.
Gentlemen, I have to go. I have to leave to go and see my daughter and meet her in town for lunch.
All right. All the best to you. Thank you for joining.
Yes. Goodbye, Tom.
Tim and Rolo and Tryptamine. Cheers for now. Bye all.
Yeah. See you, man.
And we'll get a Bitcoin wallet ready for you, Tom.
Guys, what I wanted to say too, so around 2000, it's the same thing happening again. If you watch, like, or read any book about the financial crisis in 2008, I mean, I was young at that age, but not that young, and I knew about it, but you must know more about it than me. But at that time, what happened is that people were, like, making a lot of money that they forgot or didn't pay attention to what was going on, and that's exactly what's happening right now with Bitcoin. People are just, they see money flowing and they just don't care about what's actually going on. And yeah, there's this pattern that keeps happening again, or this pattern that you can see. I don't know.
Yeah, but doesn't mean you can. You just, at this point, if as a prudent investor, which I am, and you might be, you diversify enough and you only invest what you can afford to lose. So you don't put your whole life savings into any one asset. And if Bitcoin is more of a flyer meaning that it could go flying up or flying down, then you just put a small portion in. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, for now it is.
It's not inherently evil in any way.
Yeah,
it's
just
something new. It's for most, you explained it to me very well. I have heard the explanation before, so it's I'm familiar with what you're saying. And for me, it's just an extra investment to keep track of, and I didn't think it's that liquid. In other words, if I wanted to sell it right away or convert it, it may not be that hard or easy. And I didn't really want to get involved. It's like getting another credit card. I don't really want another credit card unless it pays me. So, but if people are holding back from donating to Fakeologists because they have money in Bitcoin, then I'll open up a wallet and take it in if they want to pass it over. No problem at all.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad. Bitcoin is, I mean, it's actually, for now, it's the best way of payment, actually, yeah.
Oh, but okay. Well,
in
if
future, in my
you're
life.
A young person, you represent younger people. You're one of the youngest Fakeologists, so I will accept your explanation. And if you say it's something that you would use,
I will.
Oh, okay. So what have you actually paid for in Bitcoin?
Well, what I've actually paid for in Bitcoin is actual seeds, but that's because I had Bitcoin at the time. Seeds from Peru and Greece, seeds of plants. Yeah.
Oh, well, actually, an actual store accepted a Bitcoin for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stores online that accept Bitcoin. Too much.
Now, if the value of Bitcoin fluctuates so wildly, how can they set a price? Is the price floating every day? Is it a dynamic price where this seed is 10 bit or this fraction of Bitcoin one day, and the next day you got to check back because the
exactly
price
. Price keeps going up and down. Never stops.
Very hard to keep track then. That's what makes it unattractive, because
the extension you actually have on a website for the payment system, it has the price value changing in real time. So it's not like you have to fix it to have a payment. I don't know if
so if someone wanted to give me $10, then would they have to do their own calculation as to how many bitcoins it would require for that day, or is the plugin do all that?
No, the thing is, for example, if you have a website that sells like seeds and stuff, so you have a pack of seeds, you fix the price in dollars. You know what I mean? The price in dollars is not, it doesn't change that much. You know, it's pretty constant.
It's stable.
Yeah, it's very stable. Yeah. So.
Oh.
And but the price in Bitcoin changes, but the replies of the pack doesn't change. The extension, because the extension you have on your websites tracks the real value, the value of Bitcoin in real time. It keeps changing the price you see in Bitcoin in the website, but it doesn't change the price in dollars of that seed pack. I don't know if you understand what I said.
I understand.
Oh.
So it's the merchant that can win or lose. If he keeps the Bitcoins overnight, he might lose half the value. And,
yeah.
and if he doesn't convert them right away, right?
Yeah, well, that's the risk they're taking. Yeah,
yeah. Well, anyone receiving them, that's the risk.
Yeah.
Or it could be a game. Yeah, it could be. It works both ways. I wouldn't want to sell a house in Bitcoins. By the time I got to the bank, I might have lost half my money.
Well, right now you see like a lot of changes going on in Bitcoins. A lot of banks getting involved. Now you see like those future contracts. For example, you make a contract that you will buy Bitcoin at a fixed price in the future. That's something that banks have been using all of the other currencies for a long time. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but yeah, banks are getting involved a lot. Banks have their own cryptocurrencies that they are they have like the Ripple. I'm sure you know Ripple. It's a cryptocurrency. And most
I didn't even know there's so many cryptocurrencies until someone I know said they made lots of money on trading some cryptocurrencies. I had no idea which one he was doing, but he made quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
Real money.
A lot.
Are they all based on Bitcoin technology?
No. Most of them are pretty different than Bitcoin. It's all about the technology, the encryption, and the way they are trading.
Mined.
Yeah, well, the mining is not that different. A lot of them are mined on the blockchain. It's the only reason why they are decentralized. It's because of that technology. It's not exactly the same for all of them, but most of them have very similar technology to the blockchain. Yeah. That's basically the only reason why they are decentralized.
Blockchain. Can you remind me what that means?
Well, the blockchain is like, it's like a table where it has every transaction. Everyone that, for example, if I give you like one Bitcoin to like pay me for it in cash, that transaction has to be logged in that table. In that. Yeah, with a proper key to it, and that key is what's being mined. It has to be generated with a lot of power and electricity through what they call mining. It has to be like encrypted, and this encryption it's in one way. You can't do it in the other way. Like if you, for example, if I give you two words like MA, and you encrypt it using the SHA 256 is the hash function that was created by the NSA. If you encrypt it, it doesn't happen the other way around. You can't just decrypt it by the same function. You need like very big. You basically need a quantum computer to do it in a small time. You know, it needs a lot of power because it just tests all the possible combinations, so it's gonna take lots of, if not centuries, to do it with a normal PC. That's the reason why you can't just hack Bitcoin.
Okay, but if you had access to really cheap power, like you had a solar farm.
Yeah, that's what they do. People actually steal electricity to mine his coin. That's the problem right now. I've heard people stealing electricity from Tesla cars, because Tesla cars, they can charge for free, right? And people steal.
Sometimes.
Well, we don't have Tesla cars here, but that's what I heard. I heard that Tesla cars can be charged for free. But I don't know.
Well.
And people steal electricity from the batteries. They have actual machines in their car, in their Tesla cars stealing electricity. I don't know. But yeah, it takes a lot of power to mine Bitcoin.
All right, so you're going to set me up. Where are you going to set me up?
What do you mean?
For the Bitcoin.
What? You mean where?
You're gonna set me up for the wallet and all that.
Oh yeah, the best website or digital currency exchange to make a wallet in is Coinbase. Coinbase.com.
Okay.
That's the one I've used, and it's currently the best one.
And how do I get the bit? Okay, so once I have money in my wallet, how do I turn it into dollars that I can use?
Well, there's basically three ways. So the first way is there's just like in Coinbase, you can have a wallet there and you can exchange it there. You can exchange bitcoins in it. It's a digital currency exchange. It's just like you have one bitcoin and someone wants to buy it. You can pay for it in either PayPal or a bank account. It depends on the digital currency exchange website and the payments they accept, but it's just like an exchange. It's just like an exchange store, whatever you call it. There, you just go. You have currency in dollars, and you exchange it to yours. That's exactly how it happens. Just pays you in PayPal or whatever the amount that.
Okay, they would put in my PayPal. Okay.
It depends. There's a lot of payments. There's not only PayPal. Depends what you choose the payments you want. Once you agree on the payments,
can they give it to a credit card?
Yeah, a lot of digital currency exchange websites have it in bank accounts and credit cards. Yeah.
Okay, so I could give a credit card and they could put the money into there.
Yeah.
Or okay, and you're saying Coinbase is the main one for this?
Currently Coinbase is the one that is. It has a lot of customer support and all of that, yeah. It's the best.
Oh, okay. Who owns that?
Well, there is, I don't know his background, but yeah, it's a guy. It's this guy. Yeah, I don't know anything about him.
Yeah. You don't mind him handling your money?
Yeah, well, he only handles the exchange once I have it. The bitcoins, because the wallets, it doesn't have to be on the digital currency exchange. It can be an offline wallet.
Okay.
And there's actual hardware wallets you can buy. You can have with you. Always
okay.
Have it with you. So for example, if Coinbase is hacked, you won't lose anything. You know what I mean?
Oh, interesting. Do you have one of those yourself?
I don't. Like I said, I don't trade. I don't. Do Bitcoin anymore. Once I sold what I had, I just, I stopped.
Oh, okay. So if I got a Coinbase, if I got a Bitcoin wallet, you wouldn't be sending me any Bitcoin because you don't have any.
No, I don't have any, but I can donate in PayPal. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. I was just joking with you.
I was actually going to donate in PayPal, but I'm just. I haven't looked in the donation.
Well, PayPal takes a fee. I noticed when I gave $10 bucks to some guy, they took $2.25.
Yeah.
23% now because they said I'm a foreign account. And when I wanted to give Yankee dollars, I had U.S. dollars in my account, but because I'm in Canada, they wanted to take 22% of that transaction because
it's converted.
Well, I don't even know why they have to convert it, because I have U.S. dollars in it. It's stupid.
But
they were just trying to take money, so that's what annoyed me. So I actually sent a donation to a podcast with a check, and I steamed off some stamps off an old letter, and I mailed it in the in the mail. I didn't even remember where the mailbox was because I don't use the post anymore.
Yeah,
but
no one does.
I literally mailed the thing, so now I gotta hope that the letter gets there like the old days. And I know it's gonna take about 2 weeks probably to get there. So I have to try and remember to keep track of when they should be getting it, the whole thing. But I didn't want it, but this way they get all the money. I don't have to give anything to PayPal, which really annoys me. Because PayPal,
yeah.
if you gave money just to a friend, then they didn't really, I don't think they took anything. They took very little.
2% or something, 3%.
Well, it's a fee plus a percent. That way they catch
yeah.
you, they catch
yeah,
you
yeah.
For small amounts too. They want a piece of the action. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's how anyway. We got rich. That's Elon Musk.
I'm sure Bitcoin is going to be taking money too eventually. They have to. Every business has to make money.
Yeah, in Coinbase they take a fee. I mean, how would they finance
yeah.
themselves? Yeah.
What do they take? 2%?
Yeah, that's around it, like 4 or something. I don't remember it.
4? Greedy.
Yeah, well, yeah. They make a lot of money.
Oh, 4%. Well, that's why everyone wants to be a bank. Even, believe it or not, even my cable company that used to sell old-fashioned television signals through the cable,
mm-hmm.
they started their own bank.
Local bank?
Well, yeah. In Canada, they registered as a bank, so I have their credit card now.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, that's the business to be in, a bank. Start your own bank, man.
That's where the money is.
From cable company to bank, I'm unbelievable. From one license to print money monopoly to another. That's basically what happened with the cable company, you know.
Yeah.
Young people don't even know the history of cable companies. The whole idea of a cable company was just to give people a better television signal. Because in the old days, you had to rotate the antenna all the time, and there would be snow, and it would be fuzzy, and it would cut in and out. But if you got a cable account, then you get a perfect signal all the time.
You're cutting out there, Ab. So how does Discord pay for itself? How does Discord pay for itself?
Yeah,
I'll let you know in 1 minute. I'll let you know in 1 minute, but I've got to mute for a minute. Stand by
yeah,
for your answer. But you can talk, Tristan. Go.
Yeah, so this they pay through either Discord, Nitro. It's like a subscription, about $4 or. Yeah, for the month. They give you, like, extra features, additional features to what you can do right now, like moving emojis and stuff like that, or, like, extra out space, whatever. That's basically how they make money. You can subscribe to it for about 4 months, $4 a month, or $42 a year. That's how I know they get financed. Rolo, you there?
Yeah. The Bitcoin thing is fascinating. I know little to nothing. I was in banking back in 1990. I was training to be a bank manager back then, and at that point I just no, it wasn't for me, but you know a lot about this Bitcoin. John LeBron's apparently made a big video on Bitcoin. I haven't seen it, but are you a promoter? Sorry, I missed most of your chat with Ab. Do you promote Bitcoin, or do you think it's going to be like the, what was it, the what is the internet? 2008. Yeah, you know a lot about it, so I don't want to speak out of turn. All I know is about 9/11, so
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
where were you on 9/11? How old are you, Tryptamine? You're in Morocco, right?
Yeah, Morocco.
Yeah, where we? How old? How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 22.
22.
Born in 95.
You don't know anything about 9/11, really?
Yeah, I mean, I actually remember the day at that time I was in school and stuff, but I've read enough about 9/11. Yeah, I'm not in the dark here. I know. I've done my research, so yeah. I know enough to know it's fake, I guess. But you asked me about Bitcoin, so, I mean, at first, when I looked into it, when I realized it's decentralized and you can't be traced when you're trading in it, I've actually promoted it, and I had funds in Bitcoin about 0.6 fraction. I mean, if I still had it, it would be like it would be a fortune for me. It would be about $8,000. Yeah, that's a lot of money here, but I've actually sold it a long time ago. When I've realized how people are buying into it without actually knowing how it works, it reminds me of the 2008 mortgage crisis and all of that, because I've read enough about that crisis, and I know the reason why it actually happened is because people are just greedy, and once they see money, they forget, they just don't care anymore about what's going on around them, and that's exactly what's happening with the Bitcoin. But yeah, for now it's actually a good thing, but I don't know if it will be in the future once they decide it's time for it to pop up. That's just how I see it, Aaron. Yeah, I guess I'll have to keep this audio chat alive. I don't know what to talk about though.
2-2-1-2.
Roger.
All right, Tryptamine. So we're going to be accepting Bitcoin at the Fakeologist site, thanks to Tryptamine. Very exciting. Oh, Rollo took off, huh?
Yeah, Rollo left.
Rollo passed out?
Yeah. I've actually talked once with him, and he was drunk at that time, so he doesn't remember me.
Yeah, he does that a lot.
Yep.
Is there a lot of drinking in Casablanca?
Yeah, drinking is everywhere.
But it's forbidden in Islam, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but there's no real Muslims left. So.
Oh, okay.
If actual
real
Islam,
Muslims don't drink.
Yeah. If actual... Well, the thing is, it's not... Well, it's a misconception, whatever you call it. That when you actually read the Quran and you read the verses where it's mentioned, it's not forbidden. But it says, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, because it's in English, I don't know how to translate it, but it's like, it says that the benefits of alcohol is less than its...
The evils outweigh the benefits.
Yeah, the evil is more than the benefits of alcohol.
Sure.
But it's
so
not,
it's a negative
it's not forbidden. It's not actually forbidden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I get
it. Well, if actual Islam were to be practiced, this will be a very different place, yeah. Not even Saudi Arabia. It's not even there, it's not actually practiced. I don't know if there's any place with real Islam, Sharia, or whatever you call it. If actual Islam was to be practiced, we'd have gay people thrown out of the highest building down. We'd have chiefs' hands cut out. We'd have women who cheat on their husbands thrown with rocks to death. We'd have a lot of stuff that won't be acceptable to modern societies, and it would be.
No. Are you saying that doesn't happen? The stoning of women buried up to their necks in Iran and in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, it happens, but it's not. Go to Tehran, the capital, and find a cheating woman. They won't throw it with rocks. The actual throwing of drugs happen in tribes where, it doesn't happen in actual... It's not supported by the actual government. They won't... You won't go to a court and the woman will be sentenced to traveling with drugs. It happens in tribes and in towns where people still practice Islam, yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. But the government won't break up what the tribes are doing, though. They'll let that go, right?
Yeah, they don't want to protest.
They don't want to get involved with the tribes. They'll let the tribes do what they want.
Yeah, that's the case in most Arab countries. Yeah.
Including Morocco, where you live?
Yeah, here we don't have that, actually.
You don't have out-of-control tribes just doing what they want?
Well, it's not that popular or whatever. There's actual, native, native people or just tribes around in the Middle Atlas mountains where there's Berber people. They're called the Imaran, but they're very, I don't know, what do you call it, protective of their tradition or whatever. And a lot of the times they make protests and they're aggressive. So yeah, the government have to deal with this sometimes, but it's not that often.
Okay. Oh, okay. For the most part, they get left alone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess.
So do people, you're a digital citizen, do many people your age use Bitcoin or talk about Bitcoin or?
Oh yeah, a lot of people talk about Bitcoin. I'm not talking about Morocco though. Morocco is a little bit behind. But yeah, I know a lot of people who are interested in Bitcoin and trading cryptocurrency. I have friends on other servers on Discord too who have funds in Bitcoin. There's a lot of interest in it.
Also, Discord servers are popular among your age group?
Yeah, well, Discord was... The reason why Discord was made is because there was an application called TeamSpeak. Video games, yeah. It's basically for video games, but TeamSpeak, you have to actually buy a server or, loan or whatever it's called.
I have a TeamSpeak server. You don't have to buy it.
What do you mean you don't have to buy it? Who gave it to you?
Free. It's free software.
No. For to have server, proper server with voice chat, you have to have a... What's it called?
Yeah.
Slot or whatever on the server.
No. I have a... Excuse me. I have a TeamSpeak server. That was the original Fakeologist audio chat. It's very simple to set up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's simple, but I don't know if it's free. That's not how I remember
it. It is free. I have it. I still have the server. You can connect to it. You try right now at fakeologist.ddns.net.
Well, I don't know.
The problem with that is I couldn't get a widget on WordPress, so nobody knew if anyone was in there.
Well,
that was the only reason I switched over, because at least with Discord, there's a widget, and people can see other people in it. That's why it's so busy, because people see the other people in it, and they join in. Yeah, I had a pretty good server. I still have it as a backup.
But you hosted with your own PC, right?
Yes.
I guess. It might work.
Works fine. I used to have lots of people on it.
What do you mean lots of people? More than 10?
No. Well,
that's the thing, because that's what TeamSpeak is for. You would have a lot of rooms. Every room, for example, is for a game. For example, if you want to play with you a certain game, I go to this room and want to play this game.
It wouldn't be able to scale up as well on your own small connection.
Yeah, I guess, because... And that's the reason why I said it's not for free, because you'd have to, look for a server that is paid for, because it would have more bandwidth.
Yeah, you're right. Well, the audio chats by definition, we cannot have two people on an audio chat because they just talk on top of each other. It doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
But we had some big audio chats on there. It was fine.
I guess I understand what you're saying, but that's not how it works for games. For games, you don't talk over each other. It's a very different...
I don't understand games. You're right. I don't want to understand games.
Yeah, that's,
and therefore, that's good for you. Yeah, I'm not into that.
Yeah, I don't play that much either recently, so. Yeah.
No, I've never been a gamer. I don't care about. I don't like wasting time.
Yeah, yeah, I see where you're coming with this, yeah.
I don't even like watching movies because I know I've lost 3 hours of productivity. So I'll watch a documentary where I think I can learn something, but I don't want to go watch somebody blow something else up and make all kinds of special effects. I'm not that. I just
I don't watch that kind of movies either. I've stopped watching action and all of that stuff a long time before. Now I just watch informative stuff that will actually, you know, you'll gain something from. That's basically my. I have a big list of movies that, most of them are just like that. So.
I like documentaries. I like mockumentaries. Pretend documentaries. Even if they're just pretending to be a documentary, I usually like that. I like hearing real people speak, or at least people that look like real people. You can't be sure.
Yeah.
You can't be sure who's telling the truth anymore. It's very frustrating, but I don't let it bother me.
Yeah. Well, I have to watch movies, though. Yeah. Do I?
Yeah, you seem pretty... You don't seem like an intelligence asset.
Yeah, you never know, though. They have resources to train someone like me.
Unlimited.
Yeah.
Unlimited resource. I don't think I've talked to you before one-on-one. So how did you get to the Discord, Fakeologist Discord server?
Like I said, I don't remember actually. Was it on Reddit or Discord.me? I've actually, I don't know, I might have typed something about 9/11.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you told me it came up as a conspiracy. Discord server. Yeah, I listed it somewhere. That's true.
But I don't know, how long has this server been, or even the TeamSpeak, or the Fakeologist website, how long has it been on? I haven't...
Oh, 5 years.
Looked. Oh, yeah, 5 years, that's... Yeah.
It's an old one. I used to have older blogs for other topics, but I stopped writing on them because I'm not interested anymore in that topic.
Yeah, it gets frustrating sometimes. I've been in forums before, but nothing...
Oh, you just move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to set up this thing so you can give it to Fakeopedia, but the problem is it needs a lot of extensions, and it's asking for things I'm not sure how to do, because I don't control my server directly.
Yeah.
And it's just asking for one thing after the other, and I'm nervous that I don't even know what they do. So that's my main... I can't even get the visual editor working on Fakeopedia right now, because it's asking for something I don't even know who to ask to fix it, and therefore, I almost got it working the other day when I upgraded the software for Fakeopedia, but then it's giving me a new error, and it's telling me to do all these funny things that I don't know how to do. So that's my only hesitation to add all these extra elements.
Yeah. Well, it's not that urgent. I mean, what do you want to use Lua for? Because, I mean, yeah, it's a scripting language, but I don't know what's the features you want to implement in. I might have some ideas, but I'll have to read.
Well, if you just want to create a page, you just can do it in a text editor and just shove it in.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Exactly, yeah.
We're just basically writing text with a few links. There's nothing much to it.
Yeah, I know how wiki format works, yeah.
Yeah, but we don't really need another editor or another language to translate. That just seems like a waste of time.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking you, because, I mean, the reason I've used Lua was in games and game servers where you need, additional scripts to move stuff that doesn't usually move in maps and stuff. That's why that's what I've used Lua to do. I mean, I know a lot about Lua. I'm decent in it. I'm good, but I don't see how it might be, beneficial in Fakeopedia. There might be some ideas, but I don't know if it's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you could just contribute the old-fashioned way. Just type in some text and a little bit of formatting. That's it.
Yeah, we might have, I mean, maybe in the future.
Even if you don't format it, the two people that are good at it, Guy and Mism, that's the beauty of Wikipedia. They can let them format it. You can just put the guts in and they can straighten it out.
Yeah. But about saying, maybe...
That's a good message for everybody, actually. Don't worry about making a perfect page. You could just put some stuff down and let somebody else could fix it up. You could have one person just fixing up the pages nice and neat. As long as you get the general idea down, then they could fix it themselves.
Yeah, you should write that somewhere in Wikipedia.
Yeah, I should, actually. Don't feel that you have to make a beautiful masterpiece for each page. Just throw the text down and let somebody else fix it.
Yeah. But again, as I was saying, maybe in the future there will be some, I don't know, some topic when we're going to need, like, when do you...
Well, there's so many.
The
pick one.
I mean, like, what... No, I'm trying to give, like, an example where we're going to need Lua code. That's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, I can't think of anything. Forget the Lua code. Just go right to the regular wiki formatting. I think we need someone to do the JFK thing. No one's done any JFK.
Yeah. I don't
JFK
know.
JFK hoax.
About JFK, though. I only know what, you know, most conspiracies.
Actually, I should get Blue Moon to do the JFK page. I gotta get an account for that guy. He's a great writer.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's a guy who used to be on my blog, Blue Moon. His name, his other name, he goes by is Tyrone McCloskey. He's on peaceofmindful.com. So if you're listening, Tyrone, come on over. I'll create a user ID for you on Fakopedia, and you can put your JFK thing down there. That'd be great.
Yeah, well, all of this, most of the topics you guys are discussing on YouTube. I mean, they're not new to me. I have some opinions on them, but yeah, I'm learning a lot in this Discord.
Oh, yeah. A lot to learn.
Yeah.
Do you listen to many of the audios, or...?
Yeah, sometimes. I don't have... Because I'm actually in my last year of master's, so I rarely have time. I'm just talking because I'm home. I'm usually... Most of the time, I do work on PC because I have a lot of industrial computing classes. And most of the time, I do work on the PC. Time I'm logged in Discord, but I don't navigate that much in it.
Yes. Do they make a big deal about New Year's in Casablanca?
Yeah, I'm not involved in any of that, but they do make New Year. They're mostly westernized or whatever in the big cities.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have celebrations and stuff. I'm just going to sit home and enjoy myself because I only have 2 days of the weekend when I get to a game home. I'm not going to go celebrate anything. But yeah, there'll be drinks and booze and parties and stuff everywhere.
Even with the Muslim population.
Oh yeah. Believe me, it's an ironic fact, actually. The cities that have most religious people have at the same time, the most westernized, or whatever, people. It's funny, actually. For example, in Agadir or in Casablanca, you have the biggest and lot of mosques or whatever.
Mosques.
And at the same time, you have a lot of bars and clubs, nightclubs.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
it's a contradiction, really.
Yeah.
You would never expect it, but there you got it. Right in your face.
Yeah, but they also have a lot of tulips, so that might explain it.
Yeah, that's the explanation. As long as you don't see a mufti in the bar, you're okay.
Yeah, you might actually, if you recognize him.
Yeah. As long as you don't see him sitting at the bar after the prayer. then you'd really think something's wrong.
Well, there's this thing about, just like the Catholic Church, most there's this thing about religious people. Most of them are, there's a lot of stories about Muftis that are pedophiles and stuff like that. Just like the stories in the Catholic Church, So there's this thing about them that just, I don't know why, but we'll have to go psychological to figure that out.
Well, the reason why they do that, if it's not true, is they just want to get people off their particular religion. They want them to not trust their own religion and become irreligious. The war on Islam is really a war against people that believe in Islam. It's not a war for the people that already don't like them to get angrier. It's to make the people that believe in their particular religion stop believing it.
Yeah.
And then if they ever create a one world religion, they'll bring that in and then they'll get everyone to believe that. I think that's what the goal is.
Yeah.
If you already hate Islam, then making you hate Islam more isn't really going to do much. What are you going to do? What can one do? But it's the people that believe in it, they're trying to knock them off their beliefs. And if you don't believe in anything, if you don't believe in anything, then you're going to be easier to make believe in the fake things. Bring in new beliefs to replace your lack of beliefs. Because people always want to believe something.
Yeah. Because they're afraid of death, I guess. They have to believe in something after death. I think that's how religion started, actually. Just people sitting around thinking about what's going to happen after they die. And they decide to
have. They get worried. Yeah.
Yeah. I personally look at religions, or I look at holy books as history books, not more than religion books. But I don't know.
Yeah, they are history books. That's right.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
It's the beginning of another hour.
Oh, sorry.
I couldn't figure out why that... see, I had that set for the hour, and I couldn't figure out why it never rang at the top of the hour. And then I found out that that computer, it wasn't syncing with the time server. The built-in Windows synchronization wasn't working for years. I didn't notice the clock was wrong by a few minutes. And I still can't get the Windows software to synchronize the time, so I had to use another program to do it, believe it or not.
Yeah, it's tricky stuff. It's not easy to...
Just to set the time. The Windows was not setting its time properly.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
I couldn't get anything to work within Windows, so I just downloaded a free program, and it worked perfectly the first second I used it.
Yeah.
And now you can be confident that these little bumpers play on the hour, and they're synchronized every hour, whatever the time server is now working perfectly.
Yeah, but whose voice is it? Is it yours? I've heard Phil Banks' voice before.
No, that's... Well, that's my voice that's sped up and played with by Velocet. He did that.
Yeah, you guys speak slowly, so I don't know. Both of you, you and Phil Banks, that's just like, I don't know if it's your accent or not. You take
I speak
long
faster
time
than
to,
Phil.
Yeah, Phil takes a long time to speak, yeah. He makes pauses between phrases. A lot of pause.
Sure. I listen to all the audios at 1.4. It gets through them faster. Unless it's an audio where the person already speaks quickly, I have to speed up the audios. Most people speak too slowly.
Yeah. I speak slowly because I don't actually... Well, I don't think in English, so everything I have to say I have to think about
translating.
Yeah, that's
basically. Oh yeah, it'd be very hard. Yeah, you speak very well, very well.
Yeah, I still have to work on my accent though. I need like more because for example, if I have like words I have never pronounced before or haven't pronounced that often, you can see there's this, I don't know, tick accent. But when I talk fast, for example, if you give me a phrase and I just read it very fast, you probably won't notice the accent. But once you give me like harder words, it'll be obvious. But I haven't really been talking English that much. I have no one to talk. I haven't had people to talk English with that much.
Yeah. Well, you speak very well. You have very, very. You obviously have some kind of exotic accent, but I'm pretty sure most people have no idea where you're from.
Yeah. Most Americans I tell them that I'm from Morocco, they have no idea where it is, actually. So.
Well, I barely know where it is. I know it's on the top of Africa, near the Straits of Gibraltar somewhere, but so is Algeria, right?
Yeah.
Are you beside Algeria?
Yeah. It's right. It's in the right.
Yeah, I know
what's
up there.
With it.
Even Libya, we all forget where Libya is because they're not in the news anymore. I don't know what's going on over there. But back when Gaddafi was flying around, they showed that map every day.
Yeah. And that's another story to itself.
Yeah. Now I have no idea what's happening in Libya. Not a clue.
Maybe well. They still have a lot of tribes with weapons left from, Hillary Clinton's war. So most people there are weaponized. So you can imagine.
Right. Big guns.
Yeah, all sorts of guns. Yeah, but as long as the oil is sold in dollars, the government has no other purpose in Libya.
Yeah. So maybe they've reverted back to tribalism. Tribes.
No, Libya has always had tribes. But when Gaddafi was around, he had them, he was bribing them and whatever to not have a revolution. Every tribe had its share from the oil and the oil money. So no one had a reason to fight or whatever. But now that Gaddafi has gone, every tribe has to fight the other to.
Oh, I see.
For the oil.
So Gaddafi really, do you think Gaddafi really was sharing the wealth with the people?
Oh, I know, everything you were told about Gaddafi is basically a lie. Imagine this, they had free gas, they had free water. Everyone that was after 18 years old had to have his house. They had the great life, actually, in Libya before. Of course, Gaddafi was not that good. He was, of course, he had, what's he called? He was corrupted, of course. I'm not saying he was the perfect leader, but people there were living a very good life, better than Morocco, better than Egypt, actually. And he had all the tribes, bribed and playing peace or whatever. So it was better than it actually is or will probably ever be. Yeah, he was a good guy.
So he really was, and he got all the money from oil. So he really was spreading the wealth.
Yeah, oil and gas. Yeah, he was.
That's just not acceptable in the Western world.
Yeah.
If you're given everything, how can you get production out of people? They're not good slaves.
Yeah, they're not.
If you have all the food, all the water, the shelter, what else does a human need?
Yeah.
Why work?
No, people were actually working. I'm not telling you people were lazy. People at that time, I remember around 2003, a lot of, about four of our family, I mean, it's not, you're a distant family, it's not that close to me, but you all went to Libya to work. And I still, a long time after that, I still heard of people going to Libya to work. From Morocco, they didn't go to Europe. They went to Libya to work. Okay, some of them worked on the oil field. Some worked. It's not the for government. Most of them worked for government, not for independent companies, but for government. I don't know, institutions.
Corporate? You mean the state oil company? The state had its own oil company.
Yeah, of course. Most of them. That's where they worked. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They had a lot of benefits and bonuses and stuff like that.
Okay, because that was the main business.
Yeah, that's the only reason why Libya was so good at that time. It's the oil. Because if they don't have the oil, there's nothing there. Even the farming is not that. Libya without the oil is nothing.
I wonder how well... Okay, I get it. Were they part of OPEC? Or are they independent?
No, Libya was not part of OPEC at that time.
Oh, they weren't? Oh, no. Okay, that's another reason why they were probably destabilized, because they weren't part of the cartel to maintain the price. I get it.
But now it is, though.
Well, now, yeah, of course. Now they're under the New World Order, where everything is centralized. They make no decisions of their own, and they don't probably get to keep any of the oil money.
Yeah. Well, Gaddafi was about to issue an African currency. Yeah, a gold African currency, actually. That's
Do you think they actually killed Gaddafi, or they just told him to move on? He's probably sitting in Paris or something.
Yeah, you can never know. I don't know about all of that stuff. Yeah. You can never know, actually. Well, that reason can be applied to a lot of assassinations or whatever. It can apply to any... Yeah. Maybe
well, they're probably given the choice. The way I look at it, they can either take the lead or the gold.
But I don't see why they would actually let him leave. I mean, what would they gain from him if they? It's not like they have sympathy or whatever. I don't know. Why would they? What would they gain if they let him live somewhere?
That's true. Yeah, I see your point. But who? They'd have to bring someone in to kill him. Most of the Libyans loved them.
Yeah, well, they had their mercenaries.
Right.
Well, even if they loved them, propaganda media would convince them otherwise. It's not that hard.
Yeah, they would invert it.
Thing is, I've heard this theory, and it's very true. So, what they do in protest, they just pay like 1,000 people or whatever to come. And in the media, they can show it as if the whole nation is protesting.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, so you're sitting around in your house and you see 1,000 people protesting and the media saying that it's nationwide. I mean, people tend to go with the majority, so if people are protesting against Gaddafi, you may as well say that there's something wrong.
Yeah. There might have been 50 people, all actors.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying they took over the state media, and they were broadcasting all around Tripoli that Gaddafi had left and taken off, and the war was lost. And
yeah, that happened with Egypt, too. They go right to the media.
And then all the people that are fighting for Gaddafi just gave up. They just... down their weapons and surrendered, but really they could have won. Yeah, that's the power of the media. I guess that trick works every time.
Yeah, especially in Libya. Libya wasn't that hard to get there because there was a lot of tribes. There's too many tribes in Libya. Take for example some tribe that has, you know, that's being bribed by Gaddafi for some share of oil field, and once the protests go active or whatever, the tribe chief leader will be greedy to have other tribes share. So it's easy to motivate people with greed.
Oh sure, everyone can be bought. Yeah. They all can be paid for. Every last one of them. Yeah, I getcha. Humans are the same everywhere. They can all be bought and paid for.
Yeah. Like, I don't know who said it, but someone said the love of money is... Oh, yeah, it's in the Bible, right? The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's in the Bible or whatever. That's what I mean. And there's this... I don't know if the history is true, but all of this evil only started. Evil was forever, but what we see, all this globalization, whatever, I noticed only started after the 1600s, when the first bankers or international bankers rose to power, whatever. That's where all this stuff started, I guess. All this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Did you drop that link for the Bitcoin? Was it Coinbase?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm gonna. Hold up. I didn't look for it. I'm gonna do it now. So, Fakeologist, you said you don't have Bitcoin, right? Wallet, right?
Yeah. I do not have anything. Well, I had a wallet. I don't know where it is, though. I might have to look it up. Well, I created a wallet somewhere at some time.
Remember the address.
No, I don't think there's anything in it.
Why no, it doesn't have to have anything in it. You just need to have access to it.
I think I should just make a new one, because I don't know where the old one might be. Does it matter? Do you have more than one wallet?
Oh, yeah, you can have multiple wallets or multiple websites or multiple offline wallets. You can build your own if you download the whole database of Bitcoin. I was going to ask you, because I was wondering, because if someone was going to donate in Bitcoin, he would know what I'm trying to say is, you can just put your wallet address in the Fakeologist website.
Yes.
And they can, and everyone who wants to donate, you can just send it directly to you. It's not that hard. But people will need to know how to send it directly without digital currency exchange websites. But I assume everyone that has a Bitcoin would know how to do it, so it's not a problem. But yeah, you don't have to have the extension. You can just have the wallet and have the address somewhere in the Fakeologist.
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, I get you. Okay, that's good. I'll have to do that. That seems sensible.
Yeah, that's easy. That's the easiest way, yeah. And it's probably the best way.
And then you could put a link to, if people don't have Bitcoin, they put a link to where they could sign up or get it.
Yeah.
Put some money in.
If you want to encourage them to have Bitcoin.
Well, if they want to be anonymous, I guess.
Oh, yeah. That's probably... I mean, most people will want to be anonymous.
There might be a fat cat out there now with lots of money who wants to just dump Bitcoin into my wallet.
Yeah. Well, even the... I don't know. Even if it was... I believe if the NSA was the one that made Bitcoin, they would have a backdoor for it. They always make backdoors.
Well, if you were the NSA, you would have a backdoor.
Yeah. So you're probably not that anonymous. If they want to get to you, I'm sure they will.
Well, it would just be for people that don't want me to know. Not that I would do anything with the information.
Yeah.
But somebody somewhere knows everything anyhow.
Yeah.
I can just tell people right now I'm really not dangerous. The only thing I don't like about PayPal is they take a big cut.
Yeah.
Maybe Bitcoin doesn't take as big of a cut.
No, if you send it directly, they won't take it.
Yeah, they don't take anything.
There's no one to take it.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's the good thing. But just buying some Bitcoins and selling some Bitcoins, there's fees involved there. Got it.
Well, the whole Bitcoin, actually, there's no reason to use any third-party service. The third-party service is for people that trade regularly and they need customers, or they need people to trade with. So they need a third-party service to introduce, people to each other that want to trade. But if you're just a regular Bitcoin user, there's no need to use any third-party service.
Okay.
You want to, for example...
I guess, so the biggest risk is, if I go out and buy $500 worth of Bitcoin right now, put it in my wallet, and it loses half its value, then theoretically, if I wanted to convert it back into dollars, I'd lose half my money.
Yeah.
But if I just left it in Bitcoin, like any other stock, it has its own value. Well, of course, if I just want to give Bitcoin, pass it around, and not buy anything with it, then it wouldn't really lose its value, or it could gain its value. It's only when you buy stuff or buy and sell currency when you actually realize the loss or gain.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for small payments, it's not a big deal.
Yep.
Someone could give me the money when it's at $20,000, and then it goes to $10,000, and then their donation would be worth half as much. Since it's a donation, it doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah, that's the only risk about Bitcoin. It's very volatile. It might drop $5,000 in an hour. It might gain double that in 30 minutes. It's crazy.
But that means it's highly volatile right now. Because there's so much money and interest coming into it, but I see. Well, Tryptamine, thanks for your information. I appreciate it. I'm going to sign out now. All the best to you in Morocco.
Yes, okay.
And I will get that going on your advice, and maybe somebody could send me 5 cents and see if it works.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Can you have an extension or anything on your browser or anything exciting like that for integration or?
Yeah, there's a lot of. What do you mean, like when you can monitor? No, you'll need the. I don't know if there's an extension in the browser, but you need the Bitcoin Core. You can download it. It's the official Bitcoin
code. What is it called?
Bitcoin Core. C O R E.
Oh yeah. Core, okay. What does that do for you?
Well, that's where you can set up your my wallet. It's the offline wallet, and that's where you can do all the transaction with anyone you want. You can send someone directly Bitcoin. You can accept directly from someone Bitcoin. You can set up the gateways where you can monitor transactions through your website. There's a lot of stuff you can do with Bitcoin Core. That's what all the websites that of digital currency exchanges use. They build up their algorithms based on the Bitcoin Core. That's basically the base of Bitcoin. You need that to do anything.
Oh, so that's a Windows program?
Yeah, it's a Windows program. Just
search
for it, Bitcoin Core.
Did you give me the link to that too, or is that on Coinbase?
Yeah, sure, I'll give it to you.
Oh, it's not part of Coinbase?
No, it's not. It's the Bitcoin Base. It's just not a third party service. Bitcoin Core is the official one. It's the official software for Bitcoin.
Oh, okay. And that's just for sending it around. You can't buy Bitcoin through that. You got to go to Coinbase to get that.
No, the thing is, you can accept like donations and Bitcoin. People sending it to you directly. The Bitcoin base is third service. It's if you want to exchange it for other currencies, like you have Bitcoin and you want dollar cash, that's what Bitcoin base is for. It's like an exchange.
What's Coinbase?
No, that's Coinbase. Coinbase is the exchange. Digital currency exchange where you can exchange Bitcoin with something else. For example, if you give me your wallet address and I send to you one Bitcoin, you want to turn this Bitcoin into real money, you're going to have to go to Bitcoin Base.
Okay. Or Coinbase.
Coinbase.
Yeah, that's why you're confusing me. So
Coinbase
and Bitcoin Core.
Bitcoin
Core is just a standalone Windows program that manages your wallet.
Yeah, it's the client side.
I guess I could set up a wallet through that program, Bitcoin Core.
Yeah,
that's how I can make a new wallet.
Yeah, that's the best way to make a wallet. That's the safest. Besides the hardware core, the hardware wallet that you can actually buy,
but if I lost my hardware wallet, then I'd lose my money.
Yeah, that's the thing.
If someone picked up my wallet. Is there security on it so they wouldn't be able to use it? Or?
Well, yeah. You have they'll need your private key and your passwords.
Okay.
You'll have to, yeah.
But if I lose it and I physically can't find it, then
you lost
nothing
your money.
I can do. Right, just like regular cash.
Yeah.
Once it's gone, it's gone.
Exactly.
I gotcha. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah, put a link to that. I'll get all that set up, and I'll start accepting Bitcoin immediately. So all those donations will come flooding in, or not.
Yeah, or not. It depends on people here.
But I could literally accept 5 cents.
One cent.
You can make any fraction you want, I guess. 0.00000001 or some. How many decimals can it go to?
I have no idea, actually.
That'd be funny. I'll send you 0.00001 cent.
Yeah, that's possible. Like, I don't know how much it goes, how much zeros it goes back with. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of zeros. I've seen a lot of transactions with a lot of zeros.
Oh, yeah? What do you mean, to you or somewhere else?
No, not mine. Other transactions. Other people's with a lot of zeros.
Where can you see
them? Well, you could see them in the exchange, the digital currency exchange. In Coinbase, for example. The blockchain with the transaction is public. Anyone can see it. You know what I mean? Everyone can see the blockchain of transactions. So you can see every transaction that has happened. But you can see you can trace the ones that made the transaction. But you can see the transaction. It's public.
Yeah, I guess the only difference between gold and Bitcoin. You can't really touch and feel Bitcoin like you can touch gold. That's why it can't ever replace gold. Because gold is just something that is physical. You can touch it. You can have somebody look at it and tell you if it's real.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin, you just cannot touch it. Yeah, it's all digital and it, you know.
But gold can be centralized, can be controlled by banks and stuff. Not like Bitcoin. Gold is actually can be controlled and manipulated by banks.
Well, I think anything can. Anything of any value.
They've actually issued derivatives based on bitcoins. Other derivatives that are based on bitcoins on the price, the price value of bitcoin. So, if you buy these derivatives, they're controlled and they're centralizing bitcoin. That way. There's a lot of what they can do with, but not like they can do with gold in actual cash. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Very, very, very interesting stuff. Okay, I'll sign off now. I have to listen to some old-fashioned podcasts where they're talking about magic tricks and whatnot.
Oh, okay.
I'll post it so you can listen to it when I'm done. You might find it interesting.
So, see you. Okay.
Hi, this is Therillium, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.